Testing, testing, testing. Whatever. Okay. That way we can just test it out.
My bow tea is made out of sugar.
The quality's really good.
I hope I don't fall into a cup of tea.
That should be the opening of the episode. Just this literal clip. Well, I'll just patch it in.
That's pretty good.
Halo, halo, Sacred Icon listeners. We used to do ads for other people, but I decided, why don't we do one for ourselves? Whether you're here listening to us for the first time or you've heard every episode, I'd like to briefly tell you what we're about and how you can support us. We have been doing this podcast since 2019, and with that has come lots of changes. We started as a primarily Halo-only show, but have evolved, combat evolved, over the years to talk about a wide variety of things in the realm of nerd culture. As you can imagine, we've made numerous changes to our platforms, usernames, and emails over the years, so now is the time for me to set things right and give the Covenant back their bomb. You can join our Discord by clicking the link included on our podcast feed. You can also send us an email or a voice message at sacrediconpodcast@gmail.com. We have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/sacredicon, and we no longer use Twitter or X or whatever else the kids are calling it these days. So if you see someone who looks like us there, just know, it's not us. Lastly, you can support us on patreon.com/sacredicon and receive a bevy of bonus content. We're so glad you chose us to be the voice in your ear on this particular day and hope you enjoy the episode ahead.
Halo, halo, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Sacred Icon Podcast. We're back with a very special episode for two reasons. One, because it's episode 200. Oh, wait, that's three reasons. Another, because Brian and I are in person, and we're joined by our special guest, our buddy, our friend, is Creighton. Creighton, welcome for the 200.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
This is my brother, Creighton. You guys have heard him on a prior episode a long time ago, and I asked him, I said, hey, you're in town. Do you want to be on the podcast? And he's like, Starfield's the thing I'm most excited for in life right now, so I'm stuck between having a kid or having Starfield, and he's leaning towards Starfield, so
that comes first.
Yeah, he wanted to be on the podcast because he wanted to talk about Starfield. Creighton's favorite game of all time is Oblivion. Huge Bethesda fan, but so it's me and Josh, my brother Creighton here. Creighton's also the one that we spoke about so many times when we would do like midnight launches and get-togethers and playing in the basement and stuff. It would usually be the three of us plus our friend Justin, Josh's cousin Justin, which you've also heard in the podcast. But we're here to talk about the Xbox Summer Showcase and give our opinions on what we thought of what we saw and how it compared to the other showcases, and probably really, you know, talk about Starfield a lot too, because that was definitely the big takeaway from the showcase. But I know when we did the Summer Games Fest episode, we did kind of the C tier, B tier, A tier thing, and we started with C tier, but I don't have them listed in order, so I'm just going to go from what was shown off at the showcase first. We're going to talk about it, say how we felt about it, and just move on. But what I like to do, kind of like we did with the Summer Games Fest, kind of for the shock and value, or shock and awe, not value, but value too, why not, is to go around and say where we're at objectively, subjectively, with what we give the showcase out of 10 as a whole, just to kind of set the mood for what the conversation's going to be like. So we'll go over to Creighton first, since he's the main guest here. Objective, subjective, Creighton, what do you give the Xbox showcase as a whole?
Creighton?
Subjectively, I'm going to go 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Because Starfield.
Oh, man.
They could have showed nothing but that, and I would have given it to
them. I would have been happy.
Objective, probably 8. That would be because they didn't really give definitive release dates on most of the things.
Yep.
Okay.
So that'd be my biggest gripe with it.
Were you happy with Starfield, what you saw last year? Or was it more this year that kind of, like, cinched
the I was happy last year, but there was just not much to go on.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Okay. What about you, Josh? Subjective, objective?
Subjective, like a 7 out of 10. The Starfield put me over. Huge.
Okay. 7's your subjective.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then objectives, like a 6. I'm going to give it a 6. Okay. Maybe a 5. That Fable thing made me so frustrated. Feel so frustrated.
Okay, man. This is going to be juicy, guys. Because for 3 times in a row now, Josh and I are very different on the showcase predictions. Our scores.
Scores.
My objective score for the showcase is a 10 out of 10.
Are you serious?
I give this showcase a 10, objectively.
That's it. That's the end of the recording. I'm leaving.
This is everything. This is everything I want in a showcase from Xbox, from anyone. This was nonstop games I cared about with either release dates or release windows. It wasn't full of crap that was annoying or stupid to me. It wasn't full of like dumb trailers and just filler content. I mean, it was just very solid and straightforward. And then you get what is quite possibly the best ever full gameplay showing of one particular game in the 45 minutes of Starfield. So we're talking, I got to see things like Fable and Avowed, and I actually got to see, to some extent, well, we're going to come back to this, but to some extent, got to see some actual gameplay. Got to see Hellblade 2. Got to see the new Xbox Series S console, which is, that's not blowing my socks off, but still something cool.
Kind of surprised me. They had a weird placement for that.
Weird placement, because it was like their show ender, except Starfield kind of comes in after.
Yeah.
But like, and then you got Starfield, and you got all these, you get to see what Compulsion was working on. You got to see what InXile was working on. And the things they were working on actually look pretty cool, whether I'll buy them or not. I think the clock one particularly looks kind of neat to me. But like, just, we got to see what the studios were doing. We got release windows. We got all the Starfield we wanted. The show didn't waste my time. It's everything I want in a showcase. I mean,
waste your time with Sea of Thieves, Return to Monkey Island.
No, it didn't. Because like, the thing is, they also had this thing running throughout the show, which was Day one Game Pass. Oh, this is coming this year. Forza, Starfield, Sea of Thieves content. What was one other game they had content coming for other than Sea of Thieves?
Well, if you count it, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Flight Simulator, yeah, that's what I was talking about. So it's like, here's all these things you can expect that are coming this year, plus all these things are coming Day one Game Pass. Oh, and here's some actual bangers you actually care about that are coming in 2024. Now, the release date could slip, but if we actually got Avowed and Hellblade 2 next year, we're talking about major games I actually care about. So to not just continue to repeat myself, I loved everything they showed. They didn't waste my time. It was awesome. We got plenty of Starfield. Objective 10 out of 10. Now, this is usually where Josh and I would come in and say, Brian, is the hyperbole getting you? I really don't think so, because my subjective's like a 7. Because for me, and I know I didn't give these guys near as much time to explain their scores, but like for me, Starfield was amazing. I was probably already going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Fable, they didn't show enough for me after all these years. Avowed and Hellblade, I got to wait till next year. And there was no huge shocker moment like a Halo Tatanka or a Halo 3 Anniversary. There was not anything to like blow my mind, shock me. I kind of knew all this was coming. But then the one thing that like helped me get to my objective 10 score is I can't hold this showcase accountable for the sins of the 2020 showcase, right? Because what I'd like to say is, oh, we got this much of Fable and this much of Avowed and stuff. They were announced in 2020. Like 3 years later, we're still not having these giant gameplay breakdowns. But I can't fault this showcase for what 2020 did. So 10-10 objectively. Subjectively a 7, because I like Starfield. I like the little bits of Fable and Avowed and stuff. But there was no shockers for me. And obviously my biggest game of the summer is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And that, so that way I wasn't...
When's that come out? That's October, right? Is that October?
No,
September.
That's next year. Early next year. First quarter.
What am I... Oh, I'm getting mixed up with something
Fable,
else then.
Or for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. So we got Creighton, you're more...
Yeah, I'm getting mixed up with 16.
Would you say, Creighton, for your objective?
Was 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
My issues would be no surprises, really.
Yeah, no surprises.
Yep.
But it was all very concrete.
Release dates, it was just... coming 2024, and nowadays that doesn't mean much because they might just push it back.
Yeah, it could get slipped. So, it was super vague. It was
even if they would have given a definitive release date, they probably would have pushed it back anyways, because that's what everyone's doing now.
But yeah, pretty much.
It would have been nice still to have an actual release date to look forward to.
And then Josh, is the subjective 6, you said?
Yeah.
Or objective 6.
Objective it's a 6. I'd say subjective it's a 7.
Okay.
So I'm close. I mean, last place.
So these guys are like mid good, and I'm at like one of the best showcases I've ever seen.
It was
my
for the same reasons as Creighton, though. Like, aside from the regular content updates for live service stuff, then you have games that every time I saw one, it was like 2024.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's cool. Like, I can play stuff like Starfield this year. I have stuff to look forward to in 2024, but then you don't know if it's going to slip.
Yeah. Also,
and then
a lot of
Fable
the stuff,
gets nothing. They're
a lot
just
of
like,
the stuff said in game footage, but it's not.
No, I like, don't. You said no CG trailers.
It's not really game footage.
That was a bait and switch.
Yeah, that was a bait and switch. They weren't technically. It's one of those things where, like, you're not technically lying, but it looks like a lie. It sounds like a lie. It feels
it's
like
a
lie.
White
it's
lie.
Might as well be a lie.
That Fable one, that's what got me, is like, looking back on it, I see that's why that one was at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because it had no release date, whereas everything else was.
That's a 2025 at earliest.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too.
But, when I compare it to these other showcases, right, because we talked about the Sony showcase, we talked about the Summer Game Fest showcase, like, both the Sony and the Summer Games Fest one had so much filler and so much like sag in the middle and stuff I didn't care about and commercials and stuff like that. And I know that we didn't get, like, you know, these guys have said, we didn't get any big surprise from the showcase, but we got, basically it was like all the things we wanted, we got them. And we got them usually with, except for Fable, like release dates or release windows. And they just showed us stuff that mattered, right? Like, if you're, you know, we always talk about how showcases waste our time. Like, that 45 minutes of Starfield was 100% what I wanted. That was time fulfilled. You know, and I know there's some games that we don't care about we're going to get into in this list, but I still think even the games I don't care about are more personal to me. Like, the whole world screamed out in terror when Foam Stars was showed off because no one gives a shit about Foam Stars.
So what did you think about the Summer Games Fest and
I don't even remember.
This showcase was so much better than those.
I get it, though.
I mean, I feel like this showcase was just incredibly solid. I couldn't have, if I had some critiques, I'd say a little more in-game, and I wanted one shocking surprise. Like, the biggest shocking surprise was probably the Xbox Series S black 1TB
console.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Which is like, that's not even
a
game.
I mean, I'm happy for some people that are interested. I think there were some people.
I think it goes to show that console's more popular than the X for sales.
Yeah, that's the one Jeff bought for Starfield.
Yeah, I think so. And that's good. People are thinking about Starfield. They're probably going to go, September, I'm picking up my S, black.
And really, the difference between...
Well, you missed out. I don't want to get ahead. No. I was going to talk about that collector's edition they announced.
Well, we're getting there.
I was going to say, the difference between Series S and Series X performance for Starfield is resolution. That's it.
And who cares?
You know, most people, they're not going to care.
If it was 60 frames or 30, that would be huge for me. Yeah.
One thing I thought was interesting, too, is they said... Phil said in that Kind of Funny Games interview that they would have an answer for the 60 versus 30 frames per second.
They had one.
Nothing.
Well, it was after.
Not on the show, but after.
After, Todd's like, yeah, you know how we do.
Yeah.
You
know?
Okay, but we'll get into it. I kind of want to, you know, when me and Joe and Josh went through the Summer Games Fest, we spent a lot of time on the titles that we didn't care about. We tried to spend less time on that, but let's start off from the beginning, top of the show. First thing to show off was Fable right off the bat. We get this conversation with, and I'm reading this because I don't know the actor off the top of my head, Richard Ayode?
I'm not sure how to pronounce it either, but I like him. I like him.
Yeah, he's this funny guy talking, and we kind of see some Fable characters in the background, and it ends up where you get to this point where the Fable character enters what essentially is a giant's home, and the guy talking to us was the giant, and it shows us some very little quick snippets of B-roll gameplay that doesn't have any UI, which is what I kind of thought beforehand we'd get that, but I was hoping we'd get more than this. And then it ends up with what it appears to be is the character looks at the screen and is about to say the F word, and it goes to the Fable like title screen, and then it comes back and it looks as if maybe your Fable character has killed the giant because his glasses are
sitting
broken
on the glasses. Yeah.
So for me, and I'll pass it over to you guys, I'll go to Josh first. For me, this encapsulated everything I want from Fable in like its atmosphere, its mood, its humor, and it was a good show. It was a really good showing for what they were doing, which was basically a trailer with no release date. It was really, really strong and really, really good. I think the biggest problem is just that we've known it. Well, the game was actually leaked or rumored all over the internet in 2018, and then it was shown off with the title card in 2020, and here we are in 2023, and we still don't have much at all.
Nothing.
So the disappointment is in what we don't have. What was there, like, that was a perfect showing, in my opinion, for Fable, if the expectation was only CG trailer. Josh, what do you think?
I mean, I liked it for what it was. I mean, I thought like it looked cool. It looked like it has a lot of comical elements to it. Having Richard in there in whatever capacity he actually ends up being will be cool. I just feel like I still don't really have a good sense of what this game is going to be, and that's where I was kind of like a little bummed. It sat between like, you know, my expectations where I felt like, okay, well, they'll maybe at least show us like some kind of dev diary, like doc thing, and then maybe actually see gameplay, and it was somewhere in between where it's this like CG thing. And you know, I liked what was there. It seemed like it's going to have some of that charm, but again, I don't really get a real sense of the game. Like, is it going to go the Shrek route where it like tackles the you know classic fantasy elements like Jack and the Beanstalk, which is what it seemed to focus on? I didn't really, you know, aside from like kicking a chicken, I was like, I don't really.
I think we're going to get the Starfield level presentation for Fable in 2 years.
I hope that the Starfield Direct and the feedback they get from that helps them for the following years. Like if Avowed's coming next year after this time of the season, like give us some kind of direct, even if it's like 20 minutes, like you don't have to go 40 minutes.
This is what I'm saying when I gave it a 10. This is the best style showcase Xbox has ever held. Like ones that went down in history that had really cool bangers usually had like something Kinect or crap in it. This was just solid all the way through. Craig, what were your first thoughts on Fable?
It seems like that whole Fable section was just to give you a taster of what the game's going to feel like.
Yeah.
Get the tone of what it's going
to
be like.
The gameplay added up to less than 3 seconds.
Yeah, we had no idea what the gameplay
was. No, there was gameplay.
There was?
It was just...
Was that part where she was, like, moving around when he was, like, a giant?
It was from third person. She was like jumping through flames and running on the table. The UI wasn't there, but it was gameplay.
Okay, I must have missed that part.
It's literally like 3 seconds or less.
But yeah, from the tone and everything, what I've seen, it seems like old Fable for the most part, which I'm excited about.
And this isn't Lionhead, so that's a good sign. You
know, yeah, like, from Playground.
It's Playground.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I just got to wait till...
But we all have the disappointment that there's really nothing to go off of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to get super excited because it could be 3 years away still.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think they just recently entered full production on that game, is what I heard.
I said 2025 at the beginning of this, but I'm actually thinking now that I'm talking now, I think it's actually 2026 because we have... Let's see. So next year's probably going to be... They're probably going to do
Hellblade
the direct for Hellblade or Avowed.
Yeah.
And then the year after that might be the direct. So we could... It could be 2025, but it's definitely a ways out. But, you know, take your time. And the thing is, it seems like... This is kind of what Phil was saying in that kind of funny interview. Is like he sees the future of, like, this cadence of games coming out, rolling out.
Yeah. Getting all those quarterly releases.
Yeah, we already see it this year. Like, you know, this year we're going to have... I know Redfall sucked, but, like, we're going to have Redfall, Starfield, Forza, and then also the new Sea of Thieves content and the new Flight Simulator content. And I know that sounds like filler, but like that's real content that people care about. And obviously Starfield's huge, Forza's huge for the right audience, Redfall could have been huge. If they can carry this into next year and we have like our Avowed and then like something like a Hi-Fi Rush and then like another thing, and then we got Hellblade 2 at the end of the year.
Miss me with Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah.
Not going to play that. Happy for those that do.
Yeah. It looked cool, but it's just not something we're interested in. Okay, moving on from Fable, we have the reveal of South of Midnight, which is from Compulsion Games. This is the first game that they are developing under the Xbox brand. They're known for Contrast and We Happy Few. It seemed mostly like a CG trailer to me. Again, this is one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, it's nothing's completely CG trailer. It sure seems like it. Creighton, what were your thoughts of South of Midnight?
Was that the one that was kind of like a creepy
zombie cowboy?
Dude's like playing the banjo or whatever he's
playing. I like the art style and the tone of it a lot. The Western kind of like puppet looking.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
You remember what... you probably remember what Contrast. We Happy Few looks like. In Contrast, yeah. We Happy Few looked like Bioshock, kind
of. I never played either one of those. Artistically, they're beautiful games, but
I just thought it was neat that they were showing off the studio they've acquired's new game.
It looks like a cool concept. I just have to see more.
But it's a good first-party new thing.
Yeah, I liked it. It looked cool.
Josh?
That's a good point. I mean, it is awesome to see what they're working on, what the game's going to be, but it was another one where I was like, great, wish I knew more. I knew what it was like.
I knew
what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, there was also, like, he's playing, you know, he's strumming that guitar or whatever for a while, and then the girl shows up and the camera pans back, and it's like, he's a giant and she's small. And I was like, 2 for 2. David versus Goliath. So hot right now with Xbox, bro.
And then they already got grounded on their platform.
It's just the Fable one. What'd they do? Jack and the Beanstalk. Yeah. It's a giant and she's little. And I was like, it's the second trailer.
Now, I think...
We're following it up with that?
Well, going back to Fable for a minute, like, my assumption is that they're just... The whole Jack and the Beanstalk thing is playing into the fact that that's the Fable universe, right? It's a bunch of fables and fairy tales. Things we've more or less seen in history before, but... Yeah, it would suck.
I don't know how to take it because they didn't give me.
If the new Fable game was like a Jack and the Beanstalk game, that would suck. We don't want that. But like, I'm assuming it's just one element of that.
I'm sure.
But yeah, so I think collectively from South of the Midnight, seeing what
art style looks cool. I agree with Creighton.
Art style looks cool. We know what another first party studio is doing.
Yeah, it's nice to see what they're up to. But yeah, I just wish we got a little bit more.
Josh, take us away with Star Wars Outlaws from Ubisoft.
This was cool to see the trailer. I mean, it's Ubisoft's like open world Star Wars game. We're supposed to see more of that today as of this episode going up at the Ubisoft Forward. I thought it looked really cool. You know, it's easy for me to be pleased with this stuff, but at the same time, it's a little ambiguous as to the plot. It looks like it's set in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi from what I've heard. But, you know, it's kind of cushioned for me because I know there's going to be a gameplay walkthrough today. So, I mean, what was there was a cool announcement. It was like one of those, I think it's a third-party thing, right? It's not exclusive.
I think it's third-party, yeah. This is just exclusive showing.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's cool to get confirmation of that game. It's cool to see that they're at a point where they're able to show it. And an open-world Star Wars game is something, like, I'd really love to play. And I think you are playing as that gal in there. I don't know her name, but I don't think it's a create-your-player or create-your-own-character type of thing. But look cool. You know, it looked cool, and I can't wait to see more today. That's one of the big reasons I can't wait to see Ubisoft's Forward, even though normally I'm like, Ubisoft, what?
Yeah, so, Ubisoft actually has something to show this year.
Yeah. And, you know, Avatar.
You know, I think having a new Star... I mean, because this is single player, right?
Yes.
Okay, so having a new single player Star Wars game to show off at the Xbox Showcase exclusively, like, first, that's a big win, and obviously Star Wars is cool, so like I think it's a big win. For the last year or two, I haven't really been in a Star Wars mood. I've just kind of been fatigued, so it didn't do anything for me in that way, but like I can acknowledge that this is a win, and this is cool. So yeah, I mean, Creighton, I'm guessing you're kind of with me probably on that.
Actually, I thought it looked pretty cool.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I don't really play a lot of the games, but I actually thought it looked really cool. It looked more like the Solo-esque.
Yeah.
Like the movie.
Yeah.
I think it looks fun, but I'm not a big fan of Ubisoft games in general.
I didn't say
that. I want to see it.
I would expect another game, open world game, where it's just a bunch of filler, go here, check a box.
Yeah. I was trying not to be negative, but yeah, I don't like anything from Ubisoft ever.
That's the scary thing with those types of trailers, is they get me interested, but then you actually see the gameplay, and sometimes you can be like, we'll get to that when I talk about Avowed, but there's that part where it can kind of like negate your excitement a bit once you see what it finally looks like. But at least we only have to wait a day.
Is anyone in this room familiar with what Massive Entertainment's worked on before?
Nope.
I didn't look it up.
No, I have no idea.
Moving on, we have a game called 33 Immortals, which is basically, you know, Hades, since that game came out, the popularity of the roguelikes have blown up. But this is basically a roguelike where you and 32 other players can play together. It's coming out this year, and it's on Game Pass day one. So I would include this again. Like, I don't believe this is an exclusive to Xbox. It could be, but I don't believe it is. But the fact that it's coming this year, and it's going to be on Game Pass day one, to me, that's a huge win, because this is more...
It says it's out in 2024.
Oh, okay. Actually, my mistake, guys. Now. Yeah, I must have misread the 3 and 20. In
Brian's phone's coming in clutch.
Yeah, I must have misread that. No, but okay, it's coming out next year, but it's coming to Game Pass. I think this is another win. It's something you can play day one, as long as it's a good game. But for me personally, I don't enjoy roguelikes, and Hades, it's kind of like we're seeing, like, you know, people like to mimic, like, the Sony-type cinematic experience game. People are trying to mimic Hades now, and if I was going to play anything, I'd probably play Hades. So this isn't for me, but I think it's still a good announcement. Creighton, what do you think?
I agree. Good announcements. I don't like roguelikes, and it's multiplayer. I didn't even realize.
32 other players.
Yeah. No interest.
So not for us. Not for
no
us.
Interest in that one.
Josh?
33 reasons not to play it.
There
I mean,
you go.
I'm not, not interested in
that's
that
like
game
three
at all.
Times in a row. Now. You had Neva with the PlayStation Showcase. What was the one? Lost. Oh, there was that one you made. Las Fuegas, or not Fuegas, or...
it's
a Del Fuegos from Wild Hogs.
Jesus, what a reference. Irish Phoenix will latch on that one.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. It's the same reasons Creighton said, too. It's a roguelike, a cooperative game. Cool concept, just doesn't interest me. It looks like a Hades clone in its own way, or taking inspiration from it. And that's cool for its audience, but just doesn't interest me. But hey, happy for the Xbox ecosystem that it'll be there.
Moving over to the next one is Payday 3, which this is a game that I personally couldn't care less about, but there is a big player base for these games, and it's coming out literally in September, and it's on Game Pass day one. I think that's a huge pickup for the Game Pass Xbox platform. So great moment in the showcase. I personally don't care about it at all, Josh. Payday 3.
It's going to go right over my head because I'm going to be too busy playing Starfield.
Oh, yeah.
Payday 3, who cares?
Is there a candy bar called Payday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have more interest in the candy bar.
Oh, bro, me too. I like that.
I say the only payday that's coming in September is the money that I give.
When I was live reacting to that, I just glazed over that section. Like, they show the mask right away, and I'm like, okay, I recognize payday when I see it. But
we don't care about this game, but it's good to have that this year.
I think when Payday came on and we were yesterday, you're like, okay, I'm going to go talk to family.
I left the room.
That's the pee break one.
Yeah, I left the room. Okay, this is one that we're all excited about, but I was really excited about because... next one was Avowed, and obviously we've all been, like, in the industry, people have been excited for Avowed and to see more of it, and we finally got to see a lot more of it here, and just seeing a lot more of it, seeing the gameplay, made me go, wow, this looks like a really cool game that's exclusive to Xbox that I really want to play. Like, once again, going back to what I said about the showcase having games that I was interested in, that I wanted to play, just off of what I've seen of Avowed today, and the fact it's from Obsidian, this is probably going to be a day one buy for me when it comes out. I thought it looked great. Josh, what did you think of Avowed?
I was kind of mixed, but I mean, I ultimately still like it. You know, having 3 years to sit on what this game is supposed to look like, I mean, I was kind of thinking, like, you know, I had a certain image in my mind, but then I see it and it's less than that, which, to be fair, is my own expectations.
The grandness of Bethesda wasn't there.
You know, Obsidian's games haven't been on a huge level of, like, visual quality.
This seems like Outer Worlds or whatever.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of that. But it looks really cool. Again, I'm happy to play a game set in the universe of Eora from Pillars of Eternity. It makes me want to play those games even more, which I've enjoyed what I have played of those. The gameplay looked cool. It was nice to see first person, some stuff that can maybe scratch my Elder Scrolls itch until that comes out. Like, you know, I'll have Starfield, hopefully Avowed next year, and then Elder Scrolls somewhere off in the horizon. But look cool. The worlds looked interesting. That dude, that fish dude that you're talking to, like he's kind of like at first. Yeah. That gave me Elder Scrolls vibes, and I loved that.
See, yeah, it just seemed like a big win for Xbox exclusive to me, because like I always talk about how Sony's got great exclusives, and I love what Sony has, but like I'm more interested in Avowed than like Horizon or some of their other, you know.
How does this stack compare to Spider-Man 2 for you?
On Avowed a scale? Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
Well, I do have the love coming in from Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales. So, like, if Spider-Man 2 is a 10, Avowed's probably like an 8.
Okay, that's an 8. That's pretty good.
You know,
that's
so this is, like, actually something to be excited about, right? Like, I know it sucks that we're in the, that's the bleakness we felt from Xbox over the years, is where, like, I'm just excited to have a game that I, like, want to buy.
Yeah.
You know, and I do want to buy this game. Creighton, what do you think about Avowed?
I thought it would look a little bit more Elder Scrolls-like than it did.
Same.
But I'm super excited for it. Is it a 2024?
That's what they said, just that year.
It reminded me of Outer Worlds, and I really enjoyed Outer Worlds, actually.
Same.
So,
what I played of it, I've really
liked. That'll definitely be a day one buy for me whenever it comes out.
Huge win. Another huge win for Xbox. No, I mean, this is what we expected to see, though. We expected to see this Avowed.
Yeah, I was happy to at least just get to see it finally. There was the moment where you see the cutscene opens with the guy, like, walking on the dock, and you see, you know, cuts the close up of the sword on his back, and then you see him, like, these dudes are readying their weapons and stuff, and that was the moment where I was like, is this Avowed?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like flipping out just seeing it, and then afterward I had that like decompression, but it was cool in the moment. It was cool.
See, I love, because we were at a, me and Creighton were out of town at a family gathering, and Creighton's just sitting on a couch with my phone watching this, and the way it would go is like, if it was something not important, Creighton would just be like, oh, they're showing this or showing that. But like, if they were showing something cool, Creighton would just look up at me subtly, make eye contact, and go, Avowed.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah. It's like, come sit down because this matters.
And then Brian's like, how do I tactfully get out of this family interaction so I can come look at this?
Yeah, because I got like, you know, I got like, you know, elderly family showing up that hasn't seen me in years, and I'm not going to blow them off for a showcase that, you know, it's. But it's also like, man, they're showing Avowed right now, you know. So
did you come running over and have your ass cheeks just clapping as you just ran?
Well, now, I think as the showcase went on and I realized, because family just kept showing up, I was like, I'm not going to be present for this, so I just kind of let it go. And I went back and rewatched all. I mean, I did watch it here and there as
a picture. I picture you like that. That one. That, what is that meme from? Les Miserables. I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's that gif of Russell Crowe where he's looking in the window.
Oh yeah,
like,
no,
like Creighton's just in there, just like looking at the Avowed, and you're just like,
oh, what really sucks is I came around the corner at one point where Starfield showing was going on, and Creighton's like, they just showed something really cool that it was unexpected. And I was like, what is it? And he's like, I'm too busy watching to tell you. And I'm like, what is it? And then Erica's like, it was really cool. And I'm like, what is it? And then I found it was the whole the Dorian fan thing, which we'll come back to. We'll
yes. Back to. Oh,
but,
got emotional about that.
Let's pass over to Josh. He's the resident Sea of Thieves fan here. Monkey Island crossover coming this
really
year.
Really cool. When they first, like, literally had Lucasfilm or whatever pop up first, I thought, is this going to be a Star Wars crossover?
I thought Indiana Jones.
You thought Indiana Jones? I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, I thought of the,
you know,
the least
I forgot
likely
about
one.
That. I'm surprised they didn't show Indiana Jones in any way.
That's a good point. They didn't.
Well,
really.
Even
a teaser.
To go for, it's a side tangent here, but like, one of the things that many people, including Josh and I, were like, prediction hype thing was like, oh, are we going to see Machine Games? Are we going to see Wolfenstein?
No Quake.
Are we going to see it? Are we going to see Quake? But once again, going back to my 10-10 score for this, is like, what I'm seeing here is maybe 2024, Avowed, Hellblade, little tease for Fable, right? I'm just making stuff up. 2025, Fable's coming out that year, little tease for Quake, little tease for Wolfenstein 3, Indiana Jones. So we could get to the point where we're approaching 2030, and we've just got this cadence of games that we actually care about, AAA, coming out from Microsoft. If that's what they can do, and that's what Phil says he wants to do, then that's freaking awesome.
That was my big takeaway, is the reason we had like a 40-some minute demo of Starfield is because they know that's their heavy hitter.
Yeah.
You put in all this money for Bethesda, so you can have a game like this come out, and you want to promote it as like, this is your baby, this is like the Xbox thing to get, and then here's all this other stuff that's coming out. Like, Starfield's coming out this year, so we're going to pay the most attention to it at the end, but here's all this stuff to look ahead at 2024 and maybe a little bit of 2025. So,
and we
in that sense, I give them credit.
We have to be fair, because what's been a big criticism? Oh, you guys showed off a slew of things in 2020, none of them were even remotely close to coming out. So there's a very good chance right now they could have just had a title card Quake teaser, and that could have upped our excitement for the showcase. But if Quake is not coming until 2029, that would have been the mistake we didn't want to make again. So
no,
I think
this is true.
You know,
if it's going to be 3 years out, I'd prefer they just don't show anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what they did here was low key did the 12-month thing again. They didn't put a 12-month thing to it, but it's pretty evident what they're showing here is, like, for the most part, barring like maybe Fable, this is by the end of 2024. Yeah. Ideally, you're going to play all this. But they didn't make that commitment to where they're going to look stupid when they fail like they did with Starfield again.
But yeah, to summarize on that, I mean, Sea of Thieves stuff, it's cool to see. You know, I keep thinking, what else could they do? They did the Pirates of the Caribbean crossover. Now they're doing Monkey Island, which is awesome. Guybrush Threepwood is, like, older, so it seems like storyline-wise it's taking place after those Monkey Island games. That's really cool. I mean, I haven't played it in a long time. I know Deontay plays it and stuff like that. But, yeah, cool for people that are still playing it. Good to see. Glad to see they're still pumping out content.
Craig, do you have anything more to say on that? We'll just go right into
it. I mean, I've always been interested in Sea of Thieves, but since it's a multiplayer game,
yeah.
It's not something I'm going
to
play.
It's hard for the stars to align for all of us to play that, but we'd have a blast.
We should do it one time just for Josh. Josh's sake. Let's just go in. This is a similar type topic here. Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. New content for Microsoft Flight Simulator, including a Dune-themed expansion. Once again, I think this is just more content, more Game Pass stuff, more for Xbox. It's a game that we don't currently play. It's just more content for it, but I think this is still a win. Creighton, what do you think?
Yeah, I probably won't ever play Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's actually surprising, though. My wife was sitting next to me watching this, and she's a huge fan of Dune, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw the Dune tie-in, and she's like, oh, that's so cool. But she probably won't play it either.
Yeah. But for that audience that's already there, this is more content for them.
You're right. I mean, this is – I don't know if they say it on here. Sorry, Brian. It looks like it's a new game. It's not just Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's 2024's version.
Yeah. It's going to be a yearly thing now.
Yeah, and they offer now a ton of different things. Like, you're still flying stuff, but you can now have, like, jobs and tasks and stuff.
I just wish they changed the name, because I think I'd be more interested if this, you know, instead of Flight Simulator, you got Forza, right? Like, if this was called, like, Jet Fuel or something.
Well, I guess they're still capitalizing on the old PC fame and
which
nostalgia.
Is so strange, but
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, that was all they had back then before Xbox, right? But yeah, I could care less. Happy for people that are going to play it. Oh, yeah, definitely looks pretty.
To me, this is still, like, in my opinion, when I see more content for Sea of Thieves or more content for Flight Simulator, this is still a bigger win than super, super obscure, far-out indie title that doesn't show me gameplay or let me know what it is.
Brian, you're trapped for 2 weeks in a room, and you got Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, and you got Foam Star.
Flight Simulator. Dude, I can experience the world. Foam Star, I can experience is bubbles in anime. I don't know.
I don't feel like there'd be a party that's sitting there, Brian, and I'm looking at you, and I'm like, are you enjoying it, Brian? You're like, no.
I know. I bet in Flight Simulator one day I'll be able to fly low and see someone playing Foam Stars through the window. So I just get them both.
I like that.
Brian would come out of there after 2 weeks and be like, I think I'm going to go get my flight license.
That could be my career. Yeah. Who knows? And then I'll be like, hey, guys, this is Brian podcasting from the airways. Oh, Josh is on ground. We're doing this all online. Next one. Big one, guys. One we all wanted to see. We knew would be there. Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. I think the biggest ask that we all had was lots of gameplay, and it comes out this year also. But I knew, we kind of knew, like, on one hand, it's been long enough that could happen. On the other hand, it's like, that's a big ask because we already got Starfield this year. Mm-hmm. Turns out, it is coming out next year. No definitive window, just 2024. They showed some gameplay, but they oddly enough, didn't choose a section of gameplay that was, like, blowing us away. It did look graphically amazing. It was gameplay. Really excited for this title. We all like the original. For me, I have a feeling, especially Josh, but maybe both these guys, are going to be a little more probably hard on it than me. For me, this is just a huge win. I got to see more of a game I loved. It's coming to Xbox next year. I wanted more, but I'm not disappointed. Creighton, you go first.
I think it's a huge win for this game. I loved the original one so much. Even if they showed stuff and it ended up not coming out until 2027, mm-hmm. I'd still be a day one buy for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was so good. And you saying it kind of looked more cinematic, the original game had a lot of moments that
that's true.
You couldn't tell if it was gameplay or cinematic. Yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of how this one was. So I think it looked great. I'm super excited to play.
Okay. What about you, Josh?
Well, I'm reading this right now, and it says off this article, Ninja Theory says all this footage was captured on an actual Xbox Series. And there was one game, I think, I can't remember which, but they advertised, and maybe it was Starfield, but I think they said it was like PC with like Xbox resolution or something they had at the very bottom. Mm. And I'm glad to they're confirming that, because a lot of these games sometimes has been a bait and switch, like with Redfall, where they show off PC gameplay, but yet, you know, it's being advertised as coming to Xbox and stuff. So that's cool to see. I thought the best part was when I saw that hottie at the very beginning of the thing, the girl who's playing Senua. Yeah. I mean, she's super cute. I love her. You know, looking to get wiped up. So that was a pretty cool part. But what I actually saw,
I'm sure with her stature as a main character in a AAA game, where she's really looking to date, is a small podcast that used to be based on Halo.
Yeah, I'm here simping, simping at the ready.
I'm pretty sure she's from Germany also.
That's all right. You know, I'll learn
Josh
to speak
like,
it.
You're going to have to come here.
I'll learn to speak it.
You would say that, you know.
You gotta come here, baby.
But no, what was there contextually, I don't care. I mean, I thought it was kind of boring. Like, it was a strange portion to show because it doesn't really give you any more sense of the game, you know. But obviously the binaural sound, you can tell, is there. All the different voices in her head, you know, going off. That was really cool. I'm excited for this game, period. I was going to get it no matter what. What they showed just didn't do much for me personally. Yep. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, I mean, what they showed the very first time with that giant person, like, coming out, that was good enough for me. But it was good to see an update. Good to see a 2024 release date. I was a little surprised. I think they said early 2024 for this one. But if that's to be believed, I mean, what, we're getting Starfield, and then we're getting, you know, quarter three, and then quarter four is probably Forza, and then this is maybe quarter one, hopefully.
Forza was October.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking maybe Avowed, being a smaller project, would be quarter one next year.
You think so?
And then this would be tail end of the year. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, the fact
I thought
that
they said early for that one, but
okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember. I wasn't as paying as much attention as you. But still, it's kind of crazy once again to realize this is Game Pass day one. I know, like, me and Creighton are going to buy this game, but, like, the fact you're going to get something quality like Starfield and Hellblade 2 Game Pass is pretty incredible.
I hate
Sony
to say it, but
that's
more of a Sony level type game to me. Like, not a knock on Avowed, but like Avowed doesn't quite hit that same cinematic bar. But that has it, so I'm happy to see that we're getting.
Like, and you're never going to see Sony like launch Ragnarok or something to just free for their service.
Right.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. So it's pretty impressive. Next, we have this one. I'm going to pass one over to Josh.
If I can say this real quick, it's just a big takeaway too. Is I think now that we're starting to see the scope of their games, like, we're finally at that point where we're almost like getting there to where it does actually feel like Xbox is getting to that point where they're, like, finally catching up.
Yeah.
I'm happy and I'm excited, but that's where it's going to feel really cool to be a Game Pass member. When the actual bangers are just rolling out and you're like, day one Game Pass.
And all the little stuff in between. It's like, I don't have time for another console.
Yeah, one of these were like, they'd open with World Premiere and then they end with play a day one on Game Pass.
You know what I got to say? I always hated that World Premiere shit because I'm like, this is such filler. But now I love it because it's not those freaking Sony symbols.
Yeah.
The Sony symbols were so stupid. It's like, not only, like, it's their version of World Premiere, but they're like, we're going to slowly show you the symbols you've seen 1,000 times, and there's no one's saying anything.
You remember the buttons on the controller? Here they are.
I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. Thank you. You reminded me 17 times, so that was ridiculous.
The Summer Game Fest having the Samsung commercials.
I think, I don't need to be inappropriate, but I'm going to go ahead and be. I think Microsoft shit down Sony's throat with Showcase this year. I think this is way better than Sony's Showcase. And I think Sony, 9 times out of 10, does a better job than Xbox. That's my opinion. This is the one time. Sony's Showcase was just weak. So many of their games were on other platforms already. Stuff we already knew about. Spider-Man 2 went on for way too long, and it was their one more thing. But to be fair, Microsoft's one more thing kind of was Starfield, but it just hit different.
Well, they were showing each section of the game and going into detail. Spider-Man was just an uninterrupted gameplay sequence.
And it was too much.
And
the thing is, we knew they had prepped us saying, like, this is going to more or less end with Starfield.
Well, and we already know what Spider-Man 2 is going to be like.
Yeah.
Starfield, we're still, like, we didn't know.
Still didn't have a good
Everyone knows what Spider-Man 2 is
going to be. Yeah, that's a good point.
And I would argue moments like Fable kind of hit big, like we wanted the end of Sony to hit, even though we criticized Fable a little bit. Like, that still kind of hit as a big moment, seeing Fable, to me.
Hey, like, better than the Marathon announcement at the Sony one.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
This was way better. But moving along, I'll let Josh take this because I think he knows a little bit more than me. But, like, we saw another Like a Dragon, which, for those of you who don't know, Like a Dragon and Yakuza are the same series. They kind of swap out titles. But we saw another Like a Dragon game at the Xbox Showcase. There was one at Summer Games Fest, so I was just surprised to see two. I don't know if these are different developers or what.
I don't know. I don't know either.
What is it about Microsoft and showing butt cheeks? I mean, you got the Halo show.
That was hilarious. We did get nudity in that.
I like that the guy who's not usually on this podcast called out the Halo butt cheeks, because everyone's so
Master
tired.
Cheeks.
Master Cheeks, man. Yeah, that was our closest
to Halo
moment. This is
called Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Josh, what do you think? Is something you'll buy?
I mean, no, because I'm so behind on the series. Yeah. But, I mean, it looks like something I'd want to play. I thought it was fun. It says in here, I mean, and they're right, that it had the Austin Powers, like, clever running joke, running gag of, like, they're going to cover up every time it shows him full frontal with, like, a character, like, laying down, someone's drink, you know, a surfboard.
They show
like
his
that.
Butt cheeks, though.
Yeah, they do show his butt cheeks, but everything else, they're like, nope, not going to do that. Butt cheeks are okay now. But, it looks cool. It's just, it's getting to be that, like, the Assassin's Creed series that if you didn't play it from the get-go, you either sacrifice any other games you want to play and just entirely devote yourself to a gaming career down that franchise, or you fall behind and you have to cherry pick.
Josh, do you think
play.
This would have hit harder or worse if at the last possible moment they just let it hit the dick and balls hang out, just like straight up?
Play day one on Game Pass.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect sales feature. Creighton, what do you think about this? Anything to say?
I think those games look interesting, but I just don't have the time.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Wizard,
it's
like
too much.
It's too much.
It's too much, Brian.
It's too much.
We're in person, we can say that.
Albino's so happy right now. Yeah. Yeah, there's like, what, 10 games? I mean, I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
there's a lot.
Moving along to this, we can almost kind of rope this in with the flight simulator and the Sea of Things. Here's the thing, right? Okay, so like I personally, Brian Arvet, I hate the whole live service thing. I don't like these kind of games. I want my single player, high quality games. But Microsoft is doing what Sony's trying to start doing, which is getting into this live service market. And we saw at Sony Showcase, they flooded us with all these live service things coming and like, hey, we're moving in this direction. Microsoft's already kind of been there. And it was nice to see that. Right here, I don't know if this is coming out. It doesn't say when the update's coming.
Who cares?
But who cares? Fallout 76 is getting an Atlantic City update, and I think for the people who are playing these live service games, which there's a lot of them, right? And it's younger generations
all
who
four.
Didn't grow up with these.
Yeah, I made you crack.
I'm smiling at Josh, but I'm trying to keep my composure here. But you have Sea of Thieves, Flight Simulator, and Fallout 76 all getting these big updates. These games all have sizable player bases, so I think this was another good announcement here. More Fallout 76. Obviously, people like me and Josh and Creighton don't really care. I think a lot of people in our community don't care. But I still think it was a win. Creighton, what do you think? Fallout 76.
I mean, from what I hear, Fallout 76 is a lot of fun now.
Yeah.
For me, like I already don't have enough time to play games, so the idea of a game that I'm going to have to play every 2 weeks to keep up with the amount of content.
Yep.
No interest.
Yeah, that's the same for me. You know, seems like a game for that has this audience, and if I was younger, like late teen, early 20s. I mean, it could be something I'd maybe get into, but I feel like I'm getting my Fallout fix kind of elsewhere. I'm going to have, you know, Avowed on the horizon. I got Starfield this year. I'm kind of getting that with other stuff, so I don't really need it for that.
Would you guys say it was a win still, or no?
Indifferent. Okay. Indifferent. No, who cares?
I think it's expected that they're going to keep putting out content.
Yeah,
out,
so. I mean, I guess okay. Cool for the, yeah,
down the
cool
middle.
For its audience.
I'm disappointed they didn't say anything about the Fallout 4 next gen update because I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, we kind of thought that might be there too because they said there was going to be a next gen Fallout 4.
They are supposed to be doing
space
like that's actually coming. That's confirmed. Oh. It's just they
are supposed to be doing some more stuff this week, like Xbox, whatever that was called.
They said
so we know they're not going to reveal anything.
They said there's an extended stuff where we'll get better looks.
We've
at some
been
of these
let
games,
down.
And
before.
I don't. Yeah,
I do not.
I don't know.
Maybe Fallout 4 next gen will be thrown in.
Yeah,
guys, I'm going to mispronounce this. The next game is Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, is from Capcom. I have no interest in this type of game, and I have so little interest that I actually don't even know if this is a win for the showcase. I'd like to think maybe it is, but I just... This
is
just
that the
interest.
One that kind of looks samurai, like Neo-esque, kind of?
What do you guys say? I don't have anything to add to this.
What do you think,
it's
Creighton?
Not for me. It was there.
Who gives a shit? Yeah, who cares? I mean, I saw that and I was watching it, live reacting to it, and I was like, what is this game? And then everyone's talking super fast in Japanese and I couldn't keep up with it. It was like sensory overload.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy for those who are excited.
Another huge win for the showcase, but completely expected. Forza Motorsport comes out this October, day one on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Like I said, that just adds to the whole, you get Starfield in September. Maybe once people, and obviously no one's sitting at this round table right now, but like, some people, by the time they get to October, they'll be okay to put Starfield down for a little bit to play some Forza. Not us, but Forza's there. It's going to be day one of the Game Pass. I mean,
I really enjoy racing games like Gran Turismo 7. I played a lot of that. So I will be playing a lot of this game, but probably like December next year.
Yeah. Is
like
it a buy for you
Starfield.
Or is it a Game Pass? Like, is it a day one or a buy at some point?
I still buy all my
you
games.
Still buy.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but by the time I finish Starfield, like, I don't know, middle of next year.
Oh, yeah, hopefully it'll be like $30 or something, yeah. You know, I thought it was cool how they handled the game. Like, it's obviously one of their babies, so they did have a moment where you actually had someone come out. Because we saw, like, Sarah Bond in the beginning, mm-hmm. who's super fine. Yeah. And then we have Phil Spencer at the very end and stuff like that. But we didn't have too many people that we saw this time.
Where was
time.
The booty? Where was the Matt Booty?
No Matt Booty. The Matt Booty, was in that Like a Dragon preview.
Yeah.
But with this, I thought it was cool. They had a guy come out. He briefly kind of talks about it. But instead of doing like a little bit more of a deep dive, which is what I feel like we got with Forza Horizon 4 or Witcher 5, whatever the one was last year, they kind of kept it short, but they still kind of had a little bit more emphasis on it. I like the Horizon series better than Motorsports series, but cool to see. cool.
Yeah, I like Motorsport better. I'm not an arcade racer.
No, fan. Totally fair. Totally
yeah,
fair.
definitely a win.
I just suck at the Motorsport ones, so, but that's cool. Cool to see.
Next, we had Persona 5 Tactica, which is, you know, I'm not familiar with the Persona series and exactly what this is, but I know the Persona series is highly acclaimed and loved. And the more that Microsoft gets these type of games on their platform, that's more of a win. So I say this is a win. Not something I care about. I don't got much more to say. Guys, we're 42 minutes in. I know we're going to talk about Starfield a lot, so I'll let you dictate how much you want to talk about Persona.
Well, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. But no, I mean, yeah. Not interested, but I know it's got its fans, and happy to see. There was a lot of Persona stuff here at the showcase, so cool. Cool for yep. those who are interested.
I've heard those games are great, but personally, I'm never going to play it.
Immediately after this, we got a new Starfield gameplay trailer, which was kind of interesting. They put a trailer for Starfield in the main showcase, and then they showed more later, which I know some people criticized, but it might have been smart to say, hey, hold your seat. Like,
it was like, hey, stick around.
Because we got
coming.
A lot. And they did not let us down later. So we'll come back to that because we're going to talk about Starfield more. After that was a game called Jusant, I believe is how it's pronounced.
I'm sorry. He makes it sound French.
I don't know.
Toussaint.
The names of these games.
Yeah, I have no idea. But we saw somebody climbing a mountain, kind of reminded me of Breath of the Wild. I have nothing to say on it. To me, if I had, I don't think this conference really had much like SAG or like a moment of dragging. But if I had to choose, it's
that?
Around Jusant.
Well, fair enough. I thought it looked all right.
Nope. SAG these nuts.
Creighton coming in with the D's nuts.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Creighton listens to every episode of the podcast, every single one. So he's not
I'm
only
touched.
Yeah,
touched.
He's here, but he also listens. We're going to move on from that. Next, we have Still Wakes the Deep. It's a short trailer from the studio, the Chinese Room, which I'm not aware of. It looks like a horror type thing, and nothing much was revealed.
I thought it looked kind of cool. It was like you're like on an oil rig, and you're like doing puzzles. I don't know. I might play it at some point.
So this is kind of where it sagged a bit, right? There's not
Wake
much
me
to
when
say.
The we get yeah. to Starfield. You
okay.
Know? Like, yeah, I was snoozing.
Moving on. Next, we had Dungeons of Hinterberg. It says, who's this by? I'm not even sure, but it's...
That was that cooperative.
Okay. It was like a comic book style art
yeah.
style.
Yeah.
This is where they channeled that Summer Games Fest interview.
I won't play it. My wife thought it looked cool.
Oh, wait,
she
no.
won't play it either.
Yeah, I'm totally mixing it up. That one I actually was kind of interested in.
But it's coming on Game Pass
yeah.
day one. Coming out
I'll try
week.
It on Game Pass. That's so. A Game Pass try.
So that's a good
for
one.
For sure.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, we've seen a lot of Keanu Reeves lately, but it still hit me. It still worked for me. Seeing him again for Cyberpunk 2077. It's a shame that Cyberpunk has gotten so much crap, deservedly, because of the way it released, when in fact it's actually a really good game. We got more to see on Phantom Liberty. This is a common prediction among everyone that we might see this here. More to see on Phantom Liberty and what that's bringing to the Cyberpunk universe. Keanu Reeves was out there talking about it. Obviously, Idris Elba is going to be in this. We just got to get Nick Cage in there.
Yeah, yeah, right.
This was a huge win for me. I'm going to buy this. Maybe not day one, but I'm going to buy this. I'm going to play this. I'm glad Xbox
I've
had
heard
it.
It's around 30-ish.
And they had yeah. They had Keanu Reeves there. We didn't have anybody like that at no. Sony Showcase. So big win for me. What do you think, Josh?
I think it's awesome because what I'm hearing too is this isn't just an expansion. This is sort of a big overhaul to the base game, like a 2.0. Like the police system and everything in the game is going to be overhauled, so they'll actually chase after you. If you get to like, I think, some kind of like 5-star thing similar to like GTA, then I think MedTac or something like that. I can't remember their name. They come after you. The weapons are different. The perk system's going to be completely reworked. A lot of stuff like that's going to be completely changed from the base up, which makes me excited. I think there's going to be random missions where you can go like steal vehicles, turn them in, and stuff like that. Random carjacking stuff where people will be, you know, you'll encounter someone like in a car chase with somebody. Stuff to make the city feel like it's alive and breathing. Without you there.
Seems like a 2.0 to the game.
Yeah, when I would just bullet through the quests, I remember in that game, I was like, oh, wow, this has a lot of life to it. But then there's times when you're just in the city, and it's just dead characters walking.
Yeah, and they all wearing the same clothes.
But I mean, I'm excited. I mean, this is pretty much they're coming full circle, wrapping this game up. And it sounds like it's going to be a meaty bit of content. Can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I want to replay Cyberpunk. I played it right when it came out. I didn't wait for it to be fixed, so my PS5 crashed every 30 minutes, and
big
I just booted it back
right
up
now.
And kept going. But yeah. I play that. I don't know when it'll be because Starfield. But.
Yeah. Yep. It was funny to me. Like, we'll get into this more when we get to Starfield. But like, to me, Starfield feels more like the delivery of the promise of Cyberpunk than Cyberpunk itself.
I actually thought that. Like, there's a lot of vibes. There's a lot of vibes in Starfield that look kind of
like,
Cyberpunk.
This is really like if we got what we were hoping. This
yeah.
is Starfield.
I can see
and
that.
And like when they showed we'll get to it. But we showed New Atlantis, and that reminded me when they showed off the city in Cyberpunk, like the amount of people walking around. Everything.
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is, like, CD Projekt Red has put out one of the best games ever made in Witcher 3, but they tried to jump to that Bethesda level when they weren't there yet, in a sense, I think. Moving along, we have City Skylines 2. I have no interest in this game personally. This is part of what I call the SAG of game shows again. What do you guys think? I got nothing.
Happy for Microsoft. They're like, hey, we see you guys. Yeah. We know we want to accommodate every gamer.
That's what I felt.
The
like
thing is, the SAG was so minimal to me compared to other showcases. That's why I don't. And when I say 10-10 for the showcase, objectively, guys, obviously it's not a perfect showcase.
This was SAG and like slightly to the left swinging. You know what I'm saying?
A perfect showcase to me would just be like they come out and they're like, hey. Fable gameplay, Avowed gameplay, Quake gameplay, Wolfenstein gameplay, Starfield gameplay, and we're done.
I'll say this. This stuff like this, I don't care about. I know it has its audience. I don't care about. But it's cool because since there was so much AAA stuff that we finally got to see, and it feels like all of it's like relatively close on the horizon this time, that part makes stuff like that not so bad. Kind of like you said, the SAG, in essence, is kind of mitigated because it balances out with everything else.
It fills the corners, like we talk about. Josh has this thing where like we eat food, right? Say you get pizza, and you get all full. But then you got to get like a chocolate bar just to fill the corners because, you know, you're not quite
there
yet.
Cap it off.
Creighton, you got anything to say on City Skylines 2?
No.
Moving on, this is going to be my new phrase when I really like something. Metaphor, re-fantasio.
Yeah, what's
It's a JRPG from Studio Zero, the makers of Persona 3 and 4.
Yes, yeah.
Probably some people out there who really care about this. It's going to be on Game Pass day one, but it was not Fantasio to me.
Missed me with that. I'm not playing that. Great. Cool to see for Persona fans, though. Happy for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Moving along. We got next one was Towerborn. It says
Towerborn. You know what I'm saying?
I was Towerborn. See, we're really, once again, we're really in the SAG here, guys, but this is from the people who did the Banner Saga trilogy.
I'm
going
to say what I want to say real quick, because I got to use the bathroom.
Okay.
And this is the perfect time. Don't care.
Okay. Very nice, Creighton. Very nice. Maybe go from, whatever. But yeah, Towerborn, another part of the SAG here, but it's from the Banner Saga trilogy people, which I know that a lot of people really love the Banner Saga trilogy. So I don't know. It's on Game Pass and something else.
When they said Banner, from the makers of Banner Saga, I thought, oh, this might be something like that, and then it's completely different than that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just doesn't interest
me really
too
care.
Much.
Next one coming up. This is something that actually kind of excited me. From a studio, I wasn't sure I'd buy a game from the studio, but this actually kind of interests me. The only problem I have with this is it seems like this could be very far away. We're talking this could be at 2027, 2028. That is Clockwork Revolution, which gave me BioShock Infinite vibes the second I saw it, and I know some people hate on that game. I love BioShock Infinite. But it's from In Exile. It's their next big game for Xbox. And it basically shows a very, like, if you've played BioShock Infinite, the city of that game, kind of a steampunky-esque aesthetic, first-person, in-the-sky type look. That's what this game has here. It's from, we know that Microsoft, you know, recently, a few years ago, acquired In Exile. This is going to be a nice big game to have on the Xbox as an exclusive. I think it was a win, especially since we've never seen this before, right? This isn't like the third time we've seen it, so... This is a big win.
Right.
Josh, what are your thoughts on Clockwork Revolution?
I feel pretty similar. I mean, it was cool to see this. I've heard that In Exile was working on a steampunk first-person RPG for like 2 years. You know, I've heard about it for 2 years. And it's cool to finally see what it looks like. It kind of reminded me a bit of like Dishonored meets a little bit of like, I guess, BioShock, which, I mean, those do kind of go hand in hand in some ways, visually, artistically, but with steampunk approach. And look, I mean, I like my first person RPGs. I really, really enjoyed what looks to be a lot of potential for this game. And the fact that it says in due time, that's another thing where it's like, that would really bug me. Like, if the showcase was mainly Fable with no release date, Clockwork Revolution with in due time, and a couple of these other ones, you know, and then filtered in with, like, Microsoft and all that stuff, Flight Simulator, I'd be like, you know, what a dud. But
now, I would say if you can't release this game within 2 years, you showed it too early.
Yeah, but the fact that there's so much, you know, Starfield's this year, and they went so in-depth with that, as we'll get to, and then next year you have a lot of 2024 stuff, it seems like, from Microsoft, it makes the in-due time not so bad. It makes it go like, oh, cool, you know? Because, I mean, one of the things I did say in one of the other episodes was, I want to get more updates on the stuff that's coming this year, what we can expect, and then some stuff for, like, maybe next year. But then also, what's on the horizon? And that's a game right there that's, I think, on the horizon.
Creighton, did you get Clockwork Revolution, BioShock Infinite vibes?
Yeah.
Yeah, BioShock Infinite.
Is In Exile, are they the ones that made The Wasteland?
Yes. I think that is them.
Did Microsoft buy them?
Yep, they own.
Okay. I played some of Wasteland and never finished it, but I liked it.
Is it a bit like XCOM?
It's like a turn-based... isometric. Okay. So I wonder if that game, the Clockwork Revolution, will be like that or not. But I like the vibes. I'm a big BioShock Infinite fan.
Good chance some of you play, right?
Yeah.
I think we're all on the same page with that. And like we were saying, this is the first time that it's been shown, so despite it not coming out soon. Like, it's not like they've shown us three times. It's like, oh, when's it coming out? It's the first time. Now, it's interesting the way that Microsoft structured this conference, right? Because they had, you know, going in, it was like there's going to be a Starfield Direct. So Starfield's going to be the end of this long extended showcase, Starfield at the end. So when, instead of having that typical, you know, one more thing as you would picture, their last announcement that wasn't Starfield was actually a new Xbox console, in the sense that it was an Xbox Series S that comes in black with 1 terabyte. No one had leaked this or rumored this. This wasn't obviously your one more thing, like video game showcase moment, but it was something unexpected, something cool for people. They can go pick up the Series S console, prepare for Starfield. It's got a terabyte there. I think this is a cool announcement. I mean, obviously, if they had didn't have Starfield to follow up, what a lame way to go out, but that's not the showcase that we're setting up here. So for me, this is a win. I wish they could get that price point to $300, though, because if this was $300, holy crap, a 1 terabyte black Series S.
Was it $350?
It's $350.
Yeah.
And it comes out, though, right in time for Starfield, so people can come in and say, hey, I got my Starfield. Ooh. I
got my Starfield Series S. Get the Starfield collectors, get the Series S.
You could get literally, you could get the Starfield game with, like, you could even get, like, the deluxe edition and get the console and tax and be still under the price of Series X. I think it's genius. So what do you guys think of the console? Creighton, you can go first.
I actually thought it was a really good announcement. I mean, people are always wanting more storage for the consoles.
Right.
And everyone also wants the option of colors. So having a black one.
And that console looks cool. It's small.
It does look cool, to be black. I think it looks better because the 1S has got that weird, like, black vent circle.
Well, that's still there on this, but they're both black.
Yeah, so it matches. Yeah. So I think it looks better.
Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, it didn't really do anything for me, but it's because I've owned a... I feel a little cheated in a way because I'm like, well, I bought your Series X day one.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here 3 years later waiting for your games. Now they're like, here's a new version of the Series S with better storage and all that. I'm like, I mean, but that's cool.
Especially when, like you said, like you have a friend who's bought a Series S recently. Yeah, and now they can't get in on this because they bought it too early.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. But okay, guys, I'm going to set us up before we go into Starfield, and I'll let Creighton take it away first, because Creighton's favorite game of all time is Oblivion, so I'm going to let him take it away. But, you know, when I'm going back to, and I know I'm the one who's really, like, driving home my whole 10-10 score thing for the showcase, but it's obviously the most, like, kind of making a statement score of the three of us here. But, you know, when you get to the end of the showcase, let's pretend Starfield only had the gameplay, because we said that Starfield had a gameplay or a little trailer in the middle, right? If they only had that in the middle, and let's say they moved Hellblade 2 to the end, or maybe they moved Fable to the end. Pick one of those two, move it to the end, so you can open with Fable, end with Hellblade, have Starfield in the middle. They didn't have the 45 minutes of Starfield from the end. That showcase, to me, still would have been one of Xbox's better showcases, and still would have probably got at least an 8, if not a 9 out of me, without the 45 minutes of extended Starfield, because what you have there is like an hour showcase that opens with Fable, closes with Avowed, has a new console, has Avowed, all this stuff, and all the seasonal content for games like Fallout and other stuff like this, plus a few little indies, and then you have like your Clockwork game that we hadn't seen yet. So for me, this was an incredibly strong showcase if you take away the 45 minutes of Starfield time. But the real gem in the crown here is that they give, unless I'm forgetting something, I think the best showing of a game to be released of all time. 45 minutes, comprehensive, not holding anything
back.
Dude,
I don't disagree.
It is the best one of all time, and that's on top of an already solid showcase from a manufacturer that routinely doesn't have that great of showcases, and after two other showcases that disappointed, this is what solidified it as a 10-10 to me. Creighton, we'll start it, pass it over to you. Take it any way you want.
Yeah,
but
take your time.
What's Starfield for you?
I'm super excited. I was already excited. I'd say I was probably 9 out of 10 excited before I saw this. Now I'm like a 12 out of 10.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Bethesda's always done this type of thing. Like Skyrim, I think when they showed it off, they did like a 20-minute gameplay breakdown. And Fallout, I think, was about the same.
Yeah, I remember that for Fallout 4.
But this one was much longer, but I think it's because the game is bigger. There's way more to it.
Yeah.
So I just thought everything looked amazing. The adoring fan when they showed
that was
that,
such like a,
I got choked up.
I almost teared up seeing that.
It's like a crowd pleaser moment.
Oblivion is my favorite game of all time.
Yeah,
like,
that's my second.
It was almost like they transported me back to my childhood when I was playing Oblivion for a second.
They nailed it.
It's the same voice actor.
What did he say? It wasn't by Azura.
I don't know.
He said something
that to him. It was like by Terra.
Yeah. This is amazing.
I don't know if you caught they said the traits, which is the adoring fan is a trait.
Yeah.
Like the negative aspect of traits, you can find a way to get rid of them, and then it's like it showed them killing the adoring fan. And that's up to
him.
That's up to you to decide how you want to get rid of that trait.
And that's the thing I love about I've always loved about Bethesda is they're so tapped into their audience and like the in-universe memes and the things that people do, and it seems like they tapped into that here. And then when they give this showcase, to me, they covered every, you know, we talk about vertical slices of games. It's like they gave us every vertical slice we'd want to see to get a full comprehensive picture of what the game is. Like, do you guys feel like there's anything they left out? Like, I wouldn't want another 45 minutes on top of this because I'm like, I just want to wait to play the game now.
Yeah.
You
know? I would have liked to have seen maybe more of how the dialogue system works because that was a big complaint with Fallout 4. Yeah.
But it looked better.
It looks more like a...
And no voice protagonist.
Fallout 3, Oblivion, where you can actually persuade people on their skill checks and... it looks awesome. I was watching. Did you guys watch the Ryan McCaffrey IGN
interview?
No, I'm
gonna listen to that.
No.
Yeah.
He said he was concerned that when they showed all these chunks of different gameplay sections, that like the ship combat, it would be kind of like a gimmick. Like you'd get tired of it after 30 minutes. He said he got to play for an hour. He said the impression he got is that every vertical slice of the game that they showed is fully fleshed out. You're not gonna get tired of it. So even the space combat, like. They said you can dock with enemy ships and board them.
Oh, man. Go on board. I got so excited.
He said he boarded a ship, and, like, there was some issue with the grav drive on the ship while he boarded it. So, like, an alarm would go off, and the gravity would shut down, and it would go 0G.
That's
and
awesome.
Oh, wow.
He said he'd be shooting the shotgun, and it would kick him back because it's
Yeah, the deep. Recoil, yeah.
And then the gravity would come back on, and he'd get pulled back to the deck.
Oh, so, that sounds
It
so
looks
cool.
like a generational title, right? This it looks does. Like It looks like something that'll go down with your Skyrims and your Breath of the Wilds and... I don't know, Last of Us, you know, games like that get talked about 10 years later still, and I think that's what they're setting up for this game to be. And, you know, I think it's so funny, like, you know, me and Josh have went back and forth over the last year or two on the podcast saying, like, yeah, we're excited for Starfield in the sense that it's Bethesda and it's their next big game, but, like, we haven't really seen much yet.
Right.
But then there was a point, I think, one, two, or three podcasts ago where I was like, people are forgetting that this is Bethesda. They've made some of the best games of all time. We should be excited about this. There's no reason to believe they're not... I know there's the Fallout 76 thing... But that wasn't completely them. That was a different type of game.
Todd Howard didn't direct that game.
And then people go, well, what about Fallout 4? Fallout 4 was a great video game. Like, it was not...
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, it's Josh's favorite. Yeah. I think to most people, it's either 3 or New Vegas. But to me, it wasn't up to that. But it was still so, so strong.
Fallout 4, my biggest complaint, two complaints were the dialogue system and the settlement building.
Yeah, I didn't like the settlement
Dialogue system
stuff.
Looks to be fixed in Starfield. And the settlement building looks better in Starfield for two reasons.
It can be ignored.
One, they're doing like a almost like a Forge mode camera now where you can fly around and you can create.
Yeah.
In Fallout 4, you had to do it all first person, which was a pain.
Yeah.
And then also the fact that it seems to be based around doing outposts on different planets is way cooler to me than going to some predetermined position and doing a settlement.
I agree.
I have to throw us on a side tangent here for a minute. One thing that added to this showcase being a 10-10 for me as well is, and some of you are going to cry out in pain, but this is the truth, there was no Halo and no Gears, and I freaking loved it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because for quite possibly the first time I have ever been an Xbox fan, those games were not there in any capacity, and I didn't even feel it.
Yep.
I didn't even feel it was missing, and I felt like the Xbox platform had things to get excited for and things coming my way that I wanted to play, and I didn't need Halo and Gears. And honestly, I think the showcase is better for it that they weren't there, because even a Gear, you know, people talk about a Gear 6 tease or Halo's Battle Royale thing, that would have just, it would have felt like hanging
there's
on
no
the
crutch.
Yeah, there's no crutch. It's not hanging on the pad. It's not saying, it was Xbox saying we're confident in what we have and what we can deliver without these things, and we can toss the, I mean, they still had the, I don't know, do we call Forza the shake or the fries?
Yeah, I mean, I call it the shake.
They still had the shake there, right? But they tossed the burger and fries out and said, we don't need those now. We got a new burger, and it's Starfield, right? And the next year, we're going to have another burger. It's going to be Hellblade or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's true.
To
that's
me,
true.
It was just a huge win. I if somebody said, don't you wish you could have seen another Halo or Gears or Tanaka or whatever, no, don't show it to me. Right. And if you're going to show it to me again, come back when it's confident and just, you know.
Maybe do like some kind of direct in March or something next year.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, and like, I, just even like, and no hate to you, obviously, you know I love you guys in the Discord and stuff, but seeing people in the Discord, seeing people on the Halo Twitter, that we get done seeing the showcase and they're asking, they're talking about what they think 343 is up to, and I'm like, guys, you're missing the point. Move the hell on, right? Like, there's more to life than Halo. Halo had its time, and like, more Halo's gonna come out. It's not dead, it's not gone forever. We're gonna get Halo in the future, whatever. But like, Xbox, they're moving in a direction that's good. And obviously, you could go back to a Redfall episode and be like, Brian, it didn't sound like you were saying that then. No, you're right. Like, the Redfall and like the Activision Blizzard thing felt like a big misstep to me. But this kind of cadence of games coming out and not having Halo and Gears as a crutch is what I want. Honestly, I would be fine with no Halo and Gears for 5 to 10 years because we're getting this stuff. And it's cool that this whole podcast we've talked about, like, oh, we can see how we're going to have games for this year, for 2024, for 2025. Yeah. And right. when we're saying that, never once do we mention Halo or Gears, where it used to just be like, give me Halo.
It's nice because you get a better sense of the picture of like what their future is going to be like without having that stuff. So yeah. when the time comes that they're ready to show off more Halo, ready to show off more Gears, then it's like,
a big moment.
Oh, amazing. Great to have you guys back because, yeah. you know.
We don't need you, but we want you here.
The whole point about Fable is just that that used to be such a big part of their ecosystem. That was one of their main eventers in the yeah. Burgers, Fries, Shake category. And it's just, for like 10 years, it's the new normal that Fable wasn't a part of it. And now they're basically saying, hey, this is coming back. Hey, this is brand new. Hey, this is going to scratch this itch. Hey, this is right here in a couple months, you know. It's cool to see that you don't need that stuff anymore to yeah. be a part of it.
And that's I freaking really love the showcase. Yeah, like I get this, that. This is, I'm not going to say they're in show, because when I was younger, right, I'm 30, almost 31 now. Josh is 30, Creighton, you're 27.
Nice.
I know you're up there. Showcases from my childhood, one moment could make me go to a 20 out of 10, right? Like Zelda Twilight Princess or Halo 3.
Skyrim.
Yeah. I'm never going to, like, I'm not in that hyperbolic stage anymore. I'm not younger. I'm more level-headed as an adult. But as a complete showcase and as objectively as I can be looking at this, I don't think there's ever been a better Xbox showcase ever. There's probably been a better Sony and Nintendo one, but there's never been a better Xbox.
I feel like this year is going to go down as one of the great years in
2023.
Gaming.
Yeah. So many good games.
It is interesting that a lot of the great games that come out this year are just remasters or remakes.
That's true.
But they're almost so like full games, right now. Though. Full different games, in a yeah. sense, you know? But yeah, no, back to Starfield, Creighton. I mean, what are some other moments that stood out for you from that? I mean, there's a lot, but.
I'm surprised at how good the game looks visually, because
it does look really good.
I feel like Bethesda at one point was known as being groundbreaking visuals. I think when Oblivion came out, everyone thought it looked
because HD
incredible
2005.
Or but then as they went on, more and more people are just like, "Oh, their games look like crap. They run like junk." Yeah. This one looks beautiful. The graphics are beautiful. Yeah. The yeah. lighting's great.
Do any of us here care that it's 30 frames? I don't care at all.
It would be nice to have 60, but yeah. I don't really care.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
The animations look better than they've ever yep. done. The facial animations?
Yeah.
The facial animations?
Absolutely.
They don't leave you nightmares.
I love so much that they went back to the Oblivion dialogue where it zooms in on
yeah, their face.
Face.
I love, that's my
it's
favorite.
So good.
That's, yeah.
That is iconic Bethesda.
It
you
is.
Can't get rid of
I have so much nostalgia for talking to all the different orcs that had the same voice actor
yep.
in Oblivion, and it was just their round potato-shaped faces.
Yeah.
And I loved that stuff, and I loved how things froze in the background. I mean, I know some people didn't like that.
I'll never not laugh at you're the one from my dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. The stars are right.
You sleep rather soundly for a murderer.
Lucian LeChance.
What do you guys? I know I'm kind of we're going all over the place here, but let's just because really Starfield is not that far away from this recording. Like
sure,
life will pass by in a blink of an eye. We'll be there. Let's just right now for fun, and be if you want to be hyperbolic, go for it. What do you think? And we're gonna go with. So I'm gonna ask you what you think it'll get for review scores, and obviously different people are gonna give different review scores. Do you think this? So when you say, let's say you say a 10, what you're saying to me is you think. Half or more of the people are going to give it a 10. If you say a 9, half of them are going to give it a 9. Where do you think, or what kind of Metacritic score, where do you think Starfield is going to get for scores?
I will just say, I think it's going to be roughly about what Tears of the Kingdom is getting. Which
96,
is like a 90, yeah.
5, yeah.
It's going to be high, mid-90s. Okay. Yeah.
What would you say, Creighton, before I go to Josh, if you had to say, what's one thing that reviews are going to mention as a major criticism? If they all have like this one.
30 frames.
30 frames.
They're already going to start.
You think the bugs?
Yeah,
I've heard there's an army of QA testers on this game, and it's not going to have the bugs.
I think
like
because of them pushing it back and the fact that they've been making this game for 8 years yeah. and Microsoft's involved, and we know Microsoft has actually had more of a hands-on approach.
Did you guys see that interview? I think it was this morning. Phil Spencer, or maybe it was last night, Phil Spencer said that this game, before they acquired it, was going to come out earlier than 2022.
Yeah, well, then Jason Schreier was saying like they were... Words inside the studio that a lot of people working on it were saying this is going to be another cyberpunk situation yeah. if we release it.
And Microsoft, this is an instance of Microsoft being a good thing for acquiring a company, right? Like
right.
I'm saving a game like this. And I know when we talk about the Activision Blizzard thing, we're talking about, oh, you know, there's the sexual misconduct there, and there's games where the qualities went down, Overwatch or
right.
or whatever, different things there.
Oh yeah, we did. It's not even in there, but Blizzard or I'm sorry, Overwatch 2. Like I couldn't. Who cares?
Yeah, that was the weakest moment
yeah,
in the showcase.
I was like,
Overwatch 2. Don't talk about that game. That game is a farce, right? you deleted from the directory Overwatch 1, and then you renamed. Or actually,
and then you canceled the story.
And
mode.
Then you canceled
yep.
the story. It's absolute farce. It's a joke. That was the worst moment of the showcase by far. This is like Starfield's a good example of what Microsoft's backing could do. Obviously, with Redfall, that didn't happen. And I know we've heard a lot of stuff behind the scenes about Redfall. Like they were kind of hands off. It was. Bethesda, before they were acquired, it was their method of thinking that they needed to convert all their studios to live service because their single-player content wasn't working. And that really tracks, as you guys can remember back, what was it, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago, they had that campaign with Wonder Woman where they were like, save the single player game because they're not selling.
I don't know if you know this. Yeah. She is the wife of the head of ZeniMax, I think.
I think you told me that once. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's why Carter. That's why she does voices in the game. She was the female Nords in Oblivion. She did the voice.
That's cool.
For Linda Carter. Wow, I didn't know that. Yep.
That's crazy. Wow. But so it was Bethesda's new way of running things that led to Redfall, right? And we've heard too that like Bethesda, they were looking to be acquired because their games, while legendary, take forever to make, and then they were trying to get that residual funds by doing live service, and they settled their games up to fail with 76 and Redfall and all that stuff. So on one hand, you wish Microsoft had stepped in and kept us from having the product that was Redfall. But on the other hand, you can try to cut them some slack and say, hey, they didn't do that for Starfield, and they're still in that. We're not in that place yet where Bethesda is just Xbox. We're still, like, that's going to be a huge transition. But I went on a bunch of tangents there, guys. Josh, what would you say for scores when this comes out?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, if I can go on my thoughts for a bit. Yeah, with that, I think I'm going to be dead wrong. I mean, I think I was saying before, I think it maybe it will be a 7 out of 10. I think, yeah, this is probably going to be closer to what Creighton said about Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. I could see this scoring really high after seeing the deep dive. I mean, right away, I mean, one of the biggest things I saw was you can see the whole difference in the year. Like, I feel like last year when we saw it, it was very stuttery. You could see the frame issues.
The faces look a bit different, too. There's something about the way that the skin looks.
They spruced it all up.
It was all spruced up. You could see the year, like, differences improved so much. I'm not as good when it comes to detecting 60 versus 30, but there were times when I was watching it where the combat looked so smooth as butter, I didn't notice a lot of stutter or jank.
If that IGN interview with Ryan McCaffrey, he asked him about id's involvement, and he said id didn't actually help with the combat at all. What they helped with was taking some of the engine features that they have in id Tech and using them to make the gameplay a bit smoother for Starfield.
Right. Yeah.
So like one thing he said was like their motion blur, however they're doing that, id showed them how to do that so it feels smoother.
Can you imagine if we get the like improvements that like Skyrim and Fallout 4 brought, but with the mood and the depth of Oblivion? Like, holy shit.
Oh, dude, that'd be so dope. Good. I mean, one of the biggest things I wanted to see more was a better sense of the story, because I feel like they were so... I mean, last year was essentially this, but summarized in, like, 5 minutes. It felt like 10 minutes, whatever it was. So, I loved seeing all the different places you can visit, like the basically the hubs, the, you know, like, New Atlantis. Yeah, stuff like that. And seeing all the different people walking around, I mean, they were talking about how these characters are going to have their own dialogue, talking to one another, having conversations, so you might be able to walk up and eavesdrop on something. That's the stuff I love in these games, because it makes it feel like the world's alive, and it's not just waiting for me to, like, get there and then do stuff.
Yeah.
It's living and breathing. The way they talked about how you can pick up companions, and some of them, like, you can either have them in your ship, or, you know, you can have this person on a base that you have for, you know, a settlement, basically, on some random planet. It makes the stuff I was least interested in was the planet stuff, the procedurally generated stuff. But knowing, getting a better look at how you can utilize the base building, but also putting people there, that's awesome to me, because there's going to be people I maybe find on a random planet that I'm like, oh, I can't stand this guy, but his stats are good. I'm going to put him on this base and he can stay here and I never have to see him unless I
want to come visit. Like a lot of the things that people didn't like in Fallout 4 have been included in Starfield and perfected. Like,
yeah.
Fallout, you could assign people to your settlements and have them work.
Yep.
But, like, who cared? Like,
yeah.
This, it's like you can assign them to your spaceship and they're going to be able to improve your spaceship. Like, you'll have better energy weapons or based on who you assign to your crew. It's giving me, like, Firefly vibes.
I can see that, yeah. And the way they showed off the customizing the ship stuff, how you can build it, enhance it, and they were even specifically saying how there's a more simplified, streamlined way to do it, and then there's, if you want to be more complex, you can go in depth.
I'll go streamline.
Yeah, and that's fair, but I mean, that's cool they're given the option.
They showed, like, the one that looked like Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Something you said, Craig, that I thought was really cool, because it was from, they said it in the showing of Starfield, but, like, there's going to be planets you go to, there's just nothing there.
Yeah.
And that's the experience they want you to have. Like,
there's that quote, I can't remember if it was Buzz Aldrin or Neil Armstrong, but when they landed on the moon, he described it as magnificent desolation. And I think that's the vibe they're going for.
They should put that in the back of the box for Starfield.
they probably can't. But, yeah, it kind of goes along with the NASA punk
parentheses
thing.
Of the desolation of smog.
They said the vibe is NASA punk is what they're going for.
Yeah.
So,
which is very cool.
There was an interview with another interview with Todd Howard where he said, like, they want that experience of you landing on a planet and there's nothing there and you're just watching, like, the planet go by in the distance. And it's a lonely, lonely
when there's over 1,000, you can afford to have.
They talked about what is the sun, the system, and the way the light will shift depending on the.
Yeah, and part, like, you see a moon off in the distance and he's like, yeah, you can actually go to that moon.
Yeah.
But it also rotates around the planet in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I was really happy with that. I mean, the UI looks really good when they were showing different backgrounds and stuff you can select, the way you create your character, those options. I'm definitely one of those people that spend so long.
I guess Demon Souls started the trend where you're going to be able to customize your character's teeth.
I did. I remember them showing that. Yeah, but even the way they walk, I remember you could have different options for that. It looks all so incredibly well detailed, and this was like, I mean, my biggest takeaway was that for like, what is it, 45 minutes or whatever?
45 minutes.
It was so cool to see that because I was hoping for. When they said Starfield Direct immediately following, I'm thinking like 20 minutes tops probably. And then they're like, I'm watching it, I'm live reacting, and on that recording, I'm like, okay, is that, you know, they're going to come back to Todd.
It just kept going.
They'll come back to Todd when it's like when they're wrapping up. And it just keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. And then it would flash over to the employees and they're talking about some of their favorite things and obviously the romance options.
I loved all that.
Yeah, I mean, every bit that they showed made me feel better, made me feel more confident about the game. And the thing is too is that the parts that I was more on the least favorable side of, which was like the procedurally generated stuff, you know, sort of like the looting and all that stuff, all that is retroactively like improved. It looks good enough on its own what they showed in this, but then because I see how everything else looks so good, it makes me want to go do that stuff, you know.
I love how it seems like the last few games they've kind of been simplifying the games a bit. This game, it looks like they're going back to like having a lot of really technical features. Like when you're in the spaceship, you can change the power levels for your different systems.
Oh yeah,
like much more of like a simulation.
More shields or more like speed.
A simulation vibe, and get maybe a little bit less casual than Fallout 4 was.
Yeah, you said with the boarding. I mean, I think that part was cool. There was literally a part where I was watching it, and I was like, "Oh man, that'd be so cool if you could board it." And then he boards it. Yeah. I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
I was flipping out. It was so cool.
I think. And shout out to Wesley on this one. He'll love that I said this. But I think when the review scores come out for this, you're going to see some 10s. But I think you're going to see a lot more 9s because, I mean, it's a mixture of things. Because it's Bethesda and because of maybe some bugs or things like that.
There's going to be bugs.
But it's probably going to score lower than Zelda. And this is the part that I said that Wesley will love is because Zelda has that baity, like Oscar bait type thing to it. Where Zelda is just going to get its outstanding review scores. Here's the thing that maybe Wesley won't agree with is, to me, it... In every case except Skyward Sword, it deserved the scores that it got. But regardless of whether it deserves it or not, Zelda just has that baitiness to it where it always seems to get that. So I think because of Bethesda being Bethesda, what they're known for their bugs
it's
and their 30 frames.
Yeah,
Nintendo, like the 97, 96 score that Tears of the Kingdom got, which also Elden Ring got because even though From Software's pretty much earned it, they're a darling as well. They got that score. Bethesda is always criticized. You got the bugs, you got the 30 frames. Bethesda's probably going to be more in that like 89, 90 range on Metacritic. They're going to get more 9 scores than 10s. But I think what's going to happen through Twitch streaming and content creation and the legacy of this game, like with the legacy of Skyrim, that game should have been a 10 out of 10 from everyone, right? Like that game is a 10, a bona fide 10.
I think Skyrim's like a 93, 94 on Metacritic.
It's a 100, right? It's perfect.
You made me think of it earlier too, Creighton, but like it's so cool to see them kind of like acknowledging more like Oblivion stuff too with the Adoring Fan guy because I feel like so much has just been like Skyrim. And I love Skyrim, but Oblivion is like night and day.
Let's get out of that bubble.
I play Oblivion more.
We're all huge Oblivion fans here. Creighton's favorite game of all time is Oblivion. Josh
it's my second.
Even that interview with Ryan McCaffrey, he told Todd Howard, Oblivion's my favorite game you've ever made.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Peak. I'm so far up this game's butt that I can smell that I had lo mein for lunch. It is. I am so excited for this now. Like, I mean, I really was at a point where I was like, I'm not excited for Starfield. I hope I get excited. And this was a case of like, they did everything they could. It exceeded my expectations, dude.
Oh,
and I never had that. Yeah. Like, the part of me that everyone says is harsh and everything, like, I get that. But this was a moment where I was like, holy shit. They oversold me.
I think people are a little overcritical on Bethesda. Like, yes, their games have bugs, but they do things that no other games do. Like,
no one else can do.
Every item in the game.
That's why it hasn't been replicated.
Every item in the game has. I know people always talk about Zelda's physics. Bethesda's been doing that since Oblivion.
Yeah. And it's also different. It's not the same.
It is different, but every item has its own physics. Every NPC has their own. Set schedule, and that operates even if you're not there. Like when you get like in Skyrim, when it's like, oh, somebody died, they left you an inheritance. That's going on in the background.
Yeah,
you don't even see it, but the game's still processing that all that's happening.
Right.
No other game does that. Zelda is amazing, but when you go into a village, people are just standing there waiting to talk to you.
Doing the same thing.
Yeah, they don't have schedules.
Yeah, I mean, Oblivion for Oblivion's in my top 10. It's all three of our top 10s, like I said, obviously, is Creighton's number one, Josh number two. But just the experience, like the nostalgia we have for that game and the experiences, right? Like, I know, obviously, that wasn't Bethesda's first game. There was Morrowind and there was the Daggerfall and the things before that. Yeah. But, like, just that era of Oblivion and the zoom in on the faces and the adoring fan and the, like, the stupid animations and the jump where your knees don't buckle at all.
Yeah, the only thing I never liked about Oblivion was, like, the enemy scale with you, like, level-wise. Which I never was able to feel like,
There is no embarrassment in changing the difficulty in Oblivion.
Yeah.
Everyone does that because the scaling is...
You never get to feel OP on some goblins and stuff like that, but, man. You know, I hope they do something like that in Starfield where, you know, someone dies or whatever that you supposedly knew and then this courier somehow tracks you down and they're like, got a special message just for you.
You're like on this planet that no one's ever explored and he comes
up.
He just
shows up, scares the shit out of you, but then you're like, who the fuck? You know,
imagine
you're looking at it and you're like, oh, that he was my mate? He was my
mate? Imagine the things that could happen in this game, right? Because you could be like on some obscure planet and you like find some, I don't know, treasure or artifact or something and there's like warnings that says, do not steal this, do not take this, and you do anyways. And you seemingly get away with it, right? And then you're in space and then like an army of ships surround you and just blow you out of the
sky.
That
sounds awesome, man.
Like, well, that one trait they said you can take, it makes it so if you're about to die, you're low health, you do more damage, but it makes it so bounty hunters just randomly will show up and attack
you. That's so cool to me. And I thought the creatures too on the procedural planets, they looked great. A lot of different designs, a lot of variations in there. Looked fun. And a lot of there was one concern I had with that, whereas a lot of the gameplay looked very corridor-ish in the preview, but then you saw some that were outside, but usually when it was outside, it was mainly fighting, like, aliens, like beasts and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know that's 40 minutes of what's probably going to be, like, a 200-hour game,
at
probably.
Least.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks amazing.
I'm concerned for my brother's health when this game comes out.
Oh, my wife's already getting mad at me.
Yeah, and guys, so it's funny, like, growing up, like, Josh and Creighton will understand this, I always say to myself, like, oh, it's a good thing I'm single, it's a good thing I don't have these responsibilities because this game's coming out, right? Well, eventually enough years go by, and eventually you hit that point where you do have the responsibilities. My daughter's birthday is the day before this game comes out.
You couldn't have waited like a couple days.
I know. And like she's going to have that, you know, typical one-year-old birthday party where she gets the cake and everything. And I can't sit there and know like Starfield.
Yeah.
But that's the point I'm at in my life now where like I'm going to have to work around it, right? And Starfield is going to be the kind of game that where like Creighton and Josh are much more like purists in the sense that they'll do all the content. But me, even when I don't do all the content, we're talking Starfield's a 100-hour game for me still. So I guess I'm playing this from September all the way to... It's a good thing that Hellblade 2 isn't coming out this year, right? Like, Microsoft's given us a generational title that we can play forever. I can't wait for this game. I mean, what are your guys, like, as we wrap up, what is your guys' final thoughts on first Starfield and then the showcase as a whole?
Do we want to talk about the, like, the additions or anything at all?
Yeah, we can talk about that. Go ahead, Creighton. I mean, you got the legendary and all that stuff.
I don't know if I'm going to get the collector's edition just because it's 3 minutes.
But it looks cool.
It looks
cool.
You better pre-order just to be safe.
How old was I when Skyrim came out? See, 2011, I was...
Don't let me do the math because I'll tell everyone you were, like,
15.
Nine.
15. 15-year-old Creighton's like, I will do anything for that collector's edition.
Yeah.
And you did.
27-year-old Creighton's like, do I want to spend $300 on a watch and a patch? Like,
But you kind of do.
I kind of do.
The watch looks
sick.
That
being said, I've already ordered ahead of time that controller.
I'm getting
the controller.
I do like the controller.
Make sure you pre-order it, though, Craig, because the
controller. I already ordered it.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the legendary.
I probably should.
You should get on that.
Even if I don't end up getting it.
Just cancel it.
Cancel it.
I am curious how the 5 days early thing works, because I still buy all my games physical. So
just read it, just digitally read it, you know. I mean, it's going to be a check-in. You're going to have the internet.
Yeah. What I'm saying, though, is when do I get my physical copy? Do I get it on the 5 days early?
Yeah, that's...
Or do I have to wait till the 6th?
I think it's digital only in that collector's edition, the 300 one.
If that's the case, I might have to do something like where I buy the collector's edition and then buy Game Pass for a month.
just so
I can play it day one or something. Well, I don't know if that would work with the 5 days, but anyways.
But the watch is cool, the editions, you can play it early. You got the headset, you got the controller. I mean, they're giving us the
this
Halo
treatment.
This is
what I would have wanted with Halo. It's like where you just, there's so much there that you feel like, holy shit.
Infinite felt like it burned out and got sent out to die in a way. Like, you know, it's like, here's the game's coming in two pieces and there's no legendary stuff. Like, it's funny, like, and shout outs to Diente. He sent me the legendary edition of, the Walmart legendary edition of Halo Infinite. Walmart made their own legendary edition of the game.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And it's cool, and thank you again, Diente. I really like it. But, like, it's clear that Walmart made this edition because Microsoft did not. It didn't have that level of care. And yeah. it's just, once again, it's like, I'm glad we can move on from Halo and Gears being the crutch.
Yeah.
They're giving Starfield that treatment this year. It's so awesome. Creighton, you go ahead. I don't want
to
interrupt
you. I'm being really careful not to let my 15-year-old Skyrim self come out because I want to say, screw every obligation I have in life. My wife, forget about it. I'm going to go down. I'm going to be playing this game. I'm going to take time off work as much as possible.
Well, I got to warn her because I've told the legendary story on this podcast multiple times. I got to tell her to not come in the room the first hour you start the game.
My wife.
Get out!
She's going to hate me. She's going to hate me.
Because I'll tell it again for you guys. I know you've heard it before, a lot of you, but like when Skyrim came out, it was the three of us again. We went to the midnight launch. We go back home. Creighton goes in his room to play Skyrim. I go in my room to play Skyrim. I get through the opening with Alduin. I'm probably about 45 minutes into the game. And I leave my room to go check in on Creighton to just see what he thinks. And I open the door, and Creighton goes, "Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! This means so much to me. You're ruining it."
Okay. Now that I'm here, I can defend myself a little bit.
Okay.
What's your? I'm not gonna defend myself too much because I was 15. Okay. But I had just finished creating my character by that point, so the game is just starting.
Just starting.
And then you're like, "What's going on here, Creighton?"
And I was like, "Get out of here!" I knew it was so important to him. I wanted to see what he was. I wanted to see his cheesing of how happy he was. But no, he was like, "Get the hell out of here!" You know. So yeah, it's going to be that moment where, and I already got to, I'm learning as the steps go on. I'm going to have to prepare myself because there's going to have to be a level of maturity I have when we arrive upon that date. But I also want to know life.
Last night, my wife and I were talking about it. We realized, like, oh yeah, that's River's birthday, and I was really like, can we just skip her birthday? She's gonna have a lot of those.
I won't be upset.
She's gonna have a lot of those, you know. And I don't really mean that. Like, I'm obviously gonna be there for her birthday. I just wanted my wife to indulge me a little bit, and she's like, no, you have to be responsible. I was getting a little angry, and she just looked at me like, don't even do this. Yeah. And I'm like, you're in for like 3 months of this. You know that, right?
No, it's gonna watch somehow randomly, unexpectedly, like your wife will be pregnant, and then at that time you'll have to like, should we come massage my bunions?
Yeah. Well, you know what works out perfectly with the 5 day ahead of time thing is that's a Friday.
Yeah.
The 6th is a Wednesday, which is the worst possible day for a day to come.
That's the Halo Infinite day.
So, oh, wow, yeah, that is.
5 days ahead of time is a Friday, and that following Monday is Labor Day. So it's for a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's going to be a 3 day weekend, and plus if they take Friday
off. Guys, you understand that we're just going to get through June, all of July, all of August. Starfield's here.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the first time in a long time I feel like all three of us were like 10 out of 10 hype for a game. Yeah. I mean, maybe Halo Infinite, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say I was quiet.
Me and Josh were all way up there. You were probably 8 or 9.
Fallout 4, maybe 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But definitely, this is probably the most excited I've been since Skyrim.
Yeah, I get that, man. I get that.
This is. So
it was amazing, and I love that they have all the collector's edition stuff because you feel the confidence behind it. They wouldn't be doing that if they didn't feel so big about this. And also, just like, it feels like that whole complete package. Like, if you're the person who wants to just literally like make Starfield your entire life, here's all this stuff.
I want to do that. But
the watch, the headphones, the controller.
I just bought a Switch for the first time. I got the OLED one.
Nice.
That was $350 for a console. Do I want to spend $300 for a patch?
But you do picture yourself though, like propped up on the couch though. You get the headphones on, you get the controller playing the game, like, let me land my ship. Let me see what time it is on my Starfield watch.
And you know what? I actually like watches a lot.
Yeah.
I have a small watch collection. So nice. It is super tempting. It's super tempting.
You're the guy to get it.
I could afford it. I just, the 27-year-old in me is like,
I get it, man.
Don't do that. That's stupid.
There's a part of me that was like, you know, am I going to, like, 4 months from the game being out, am I going to, like, utilize any of that stuff? Maybe not. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is like, I'm going to get it. I'm like, this is so cool, $300. Who cares? And then 3 months later, it's going to be sitting on my shelf, and I'm not going to look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still got my Elden Ring statue.
Do we feel like
Skyrim?
But it makes the game is like better when you have all that.
Stuff. Yeah, it is. So the conversation. Didn't you do like a Starfield like game fuel or something like Jet Fuel?
There's like an in-game soda that they have. It's like almost looks like a Coke bottle. I can't remember the name of it. They're already out, I think.
No way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But do we think so? So the conversation in the industry leading up to this has been, Microsoft has to deliver now. This is the moment. If they don't, it's going to be hell to pay. I'm saying they completely delivered it, nailed it, knocked out of the park. What do you guys think?
I do feel, after the Kind of Funny podcast, when he did say he felt pretty confident about their stuff,
yeah.
I feel like we see it now. Like, the Redfall stuff definitely put a cloud over them, but that cloud's kind of gone. So it's nice to see. You know, it's nice. I feel positive about Xbox. I feel optimistic. There's highs and there's lows, like stuff I'm like super interested in, like Starfield. Stuff I'm like, okay, I want to see more on, like Fable and Avowed and all that stuff, but... feels really good, man. They got a lot of momentum right now, and to
you
be
feel
fair,
like they nailed it, Creighton. I thought you were coming to an end.
They nailed it. The more we talk, the more I'm like, yeah, I think it's probably more than an 8 out of 10 objectively. What was I gonna say?
Xbox is bringing it.
I was gonna say for Sony, this was just a really weird. Like, they've never done a showcase like this.
Yeah.
And it's just really odd.
It feels like Sony leaned more into the Microsoft-isms, and Microsoft leaned more into the Sony-isms,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, definitely, man.
And I think just from what we've seen, the chances of Starfield coming out and being a dud are, like, zero.
Yeah, worst case scenario, it's like a high 8 or something, which is, like, you know, but I don't even see that, though, but, you know, maybe.
I look forward to the Xbox stuff every year, and every year I feel, like, let down, and, you know, but it's because I always want to be, like, Xbox is the top of the food chain for me, like, the one I'm most interested in, the one I want to see succeed the most. And when I see the showcase, I mean, even though I felt like it's more of like a 6 out of 10, the Starfield pushed it up to that in a lot of ways. But it's like, for me, it was the other stuff was so-so. But it feels good to be an Xbox fan again. It feels exciting. Yeah,
I finally have something to play on my Xbox.
Yeah.
It's not Halo Infinite. I mean,
how cool is that?
If the showcase was like this every year from going on for the future, like, even if we didn't have any shocker moments like, oh, Quake's here, if we had this every year, we had like, oh, here's they show us Avowed. Obviously, Avowed could come out the end of next year. They show us like Avowed, Hellblade. Oh, here's some Quake with some gameplay. Here's that. Show all these things are coming out recently. If they continue to do this every year, I'm going to be super excited.
They're going to start turning around the generation around if this
I hope so.
What it's like every year. They're going to catch up to
this
Sony,
is everything it needed to be.
I hope every year has at least a 20-minute demo for whatever their biggest game of that year is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope, like, their big holiday release, like, I hope they do something, at least a 20-minute thing, because that was
the funny
perfect.
Thing is, a 45-minute showcase for a Bethesda game is like, it's like watching a 30-second video for another game. Like it's nothing.
No, I get it.
Okay, so final verdicts. We'll go around before I get us out of here. Creighton, what's your hype on Starfield, and then what's your final verdict for the showcase objectively?
Hype, above 10. I'll just say 10 out of 10.
Yeah,
maximum
man.
Hype for game.
Most hype I've been since Skyrim, and Skyrim was the most hype I've ever been for a game.
True. I saw it. Me and Josh saw it firsthand. That is true for Creighton.
I thought I was excited.
We're not
going to
rehash that story because you told it before, but I was super excited for Skyrim.
I literally remember being there, though, and I saw your face as you, like, got the Legendary Edition or whatever, and then I remember Brian saying something like, he's been waiting for this for so long, and I remember thinking, like, I've been, but then I look at you and you're like,
when Creighton walked out of
GameStop,
Creighton's
staring down looking at it.
When he walked out of GameStop and he was holding that Legendary Collection or edition of Skyrim with the Alduin statue, we were walking by the super long GameStop line because we're near the front of the line, and Creighton's walking by and they're looking over him, and Creighton just had the biggest big dick swing look on his face, like, you know,
that is my getting the Xbox original moment.
That's cool.
Halo 2 moment, you mean?
I'm glad I was there for it then. That was cool, man.
Objectively, I think I'm going to say,
for the whole showcase,
just because of the fact that there's still not a lot of firm release dates, I'll have to go 9.
You're going to go up to 9?
I'm going to go up to 9, but I can't give it a perfect 10.
Okay.
Subjectively,
well, it's not perfect for me either, but it is a 10 for me.
Yeah.
Okay, 9. Okay.
Overall for me, objectively, still 6 out of 10, but it's mainly Starfield that pushed it up there. It's pretty much for the same reasons Creighton said. I'm just the harsher critic.
What would you give last year's Xbox? I mean, you can't really remember it that well, but
yeah,
obviously
it was
less
too much.
Than,
no,
it was definitely
less. Yeah, it was probably like a 2 or a 4, whatever I had the summer Game Fest and Sony one at.
Where's
your
Starfield hype?
Oh, like 10 out of 10.
Yep.
10 out of 10. I mean, they literally made me excited for the game and then made me hyped for it. Like, I felt like I was like maybe a 5 out of 10 excitement level for that game. I just needed to see more, and I mainly wanted to see more of a sense of the story, interacting with characters, conversations, companions, romance options, and they gave me all that and so much more, and the fact that every corner, every facet was expunged on made every other facet like retroactively enhanced one another. Like, they all complement one another so well. This game looks like it's going to be so much fun to get lost in. The biggest problem with this game, I think, overall, and its legacy, is going to be that people had to struggle to find time to play it.
Yeah.
Because it's like you said, I want to know-life it.
Like, and here's the funny thing, right?
I'm not
like,
young anymore, so I can't. I got to go through hoops.
And the funny thing is, like, so my game of the year so far, as of right now, this recording would be Tears of the Kingdom. And I love Tears of the Kingdom. I think it's deserving of all of its review scores. And, like, if you look at my favorite games list, you know, Tears of the Kingdom's probably, you know, bottom half or right in the middle. And before this showing, I thought, Starfield's probably going to end up being in my top games, but it's probably not going to be better than Tears of the Kingdom. And now my thought is, there's no chance in the world that Tears of the Kingdom is going to be better than Starfield. Like,
I'm glad to hear you say that.
because of, like, Oblivion and like, I have Oblivion and Skyrim at the top of my list, like, top 10 on my list. I have Fallout 3 is pretty high up there, too. And seeing Starfield now, I'm like, unless they just don't deliver and, like, we're just seeing something being faked before us, which there's no way.
Yeah.
This is going to be far better, like, to me, and obviously it's subjective. Like, Tears of the Kingdom obviously is an amazing game. It deserves the praise, but, like, this is going to be so much bigger than that for me, right? So, like, the fact that I've already played games that I love, like Resident Evil 4, Played Tears of the Kingdom. Going to be playing Final Fantasy 16 soon. And the game that's probably going to take this year away from me is going to be Starfield. And it's from Xbox. That's pretty impressive.
Okay, I got two questions. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a backlog of AAA games I still need to play. I haven't played Forbidden West.
He's about to say you don't care about them.
I'm not saying.
To the side for Starfield, baby.
God of War Ragnarok I haven't played yet. I know there's a couple more I'm missing, but yeah, it's going to be late next year before I get to those, probably, because those are all going pushback. The other thing I was going to ask, either are you going to replay any Bethesda games before this one comes out?
Skyrim.
It's hard because they're so long.
Yeah, I'll probably dabble a bit in Skyrim.
If I was going to, it'd probably be Fallout 3.
Nice.
If they do end up putting the next-gen version of Fallout 4 out before Starfield, I'll replay that. Otherwise, I'm thinking maybe I'll replay Oblivion.
Nice,
it's
dude.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Been a while.
And since I'm getting such a strong Oblivion vibes from Starfield.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh is about to ask two questions. Let me say for me.
Sure.
Because we went around. Yeah. 10-10 objective for me for the showcase. Starfield hype, 10 out of 10 as well. 10 out of 10 as much as I can be as a 30-year-old, right? Like, if you look at like past kid experiences, like, this is probably a 7, because past kid experiences, I'm like, oh, I can just talk about it and freak out.
Is there any part of you coming out of this game where you're like, this game was better than the birth of my child?
No.
He had a big pause.
I've gotten too old for that.
I know.
I so much want to give in to my immature self, but I'm going to have, when it comes out, I'm going to have to be like, I got to go to work. I got to do the dishes. I got to mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Actually mow the lawn, Brian, not 15 minutes like you.
Yeah. I feel bad. You know, I feel bad for my wife because it's like, she can see me. She can like probably read my brain working through my eyes where I'm like, I come home and I'm like, what would you like me to do for you? You want me to do the lawn? Okay.
So why are you starting with that?
Dishes? Okay, yeah, okay. I do it all. But there's very much in my voice she can tell what I'm saying is, I'm trying to get this shit out the way so I can be left alone to play Starfield. And that's not what your wife wants to hear. She wants to feel like you lovingly and happily want to do these things.
That's what I do, but my wife's nice enough. She'll probably be like, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And I'll be like, oh, thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. But Josh, you had two questions for you.
Yeah, Creighton, is there any chance that somehow with this game you end up loving it more over Oblivion?
Because of nostalgia.
Is there a potential for that?
There's potential. Okay. And this is another thing I thought before is like, I know Bethesda doesn't do remasters, but if they ever did, I'm like, I don't even want them to remaster Oblivion.
Because just perfect.
Part of the charm of that game is how janky and ugly
it is.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, if they remastered it and the faces look like Starfield faces, I'd be like,
it's not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
It's
a good point.
No. So I guess there is a chance, but, and I think I do prefer science fiction over fantasy.
I do not, by any means. No,
I think I do. There's a chance, but I probably not.
If you had to guess, being realistic, where do you think Starfield will go as in your favorite Bethesda games? Well, you think it'll be 2, 3, 4? Like, if it's not 1...
I could see it.
Well, is there even 10, like, Bethesda Softworks games out there? I don't even know if there is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see it potentially being above Skyrim, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite
I could see that,
ever.
Too, for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you had another question, Josh?
Yes. What do you guys think? So, what do you guys think the legacy of this game is going to be? Like, if we go to Elder Scrolls next and then Fallout and maybe we cycle back around to Starfield 2, do you think there's a point? Like, I feel like all of us are ready for Elder Scrolls. We're all ready for another Fallout eventually. But, like, do you think there's going to be a point when we're playing one of those games and we're going, man, I really miss Starfield. If I could swap out Fallout for another Starfield, I'll do it.
I think the legacy of Starfield is going to be Xbox's turning point.
Yeah.
It was when Xbox, you know, not only turned around, but like this future they had, and I'm not necessarily a big fan of the future of like cloud streaming, Game Pass crap, but like this could be, the legacy could be, oh, that's when like Xbox got Starfield, and they're the only ones that had it, and that's before, like looking back, like let's say it's been 10 years from now, looking back we can say we've already played Hellblade, Avowed, Fable, all this stuff, and Starfield was what kicked it off. That was its legacy. We should probably move on quick, though, because I saw the fam just pulled back up.
Okay.
Is that your last question, John?
Yeah, no, that was it. But happy. Can't wait for Starfield.
I think we're all hyped through the roof. I think even if, you know, Josh is more at the 6, Creighton's at a 9, I'm at a 10, Xbox delivered more than they delivered what they needed to.
Right? I appreciate you commenting. Right? Brian's looking at me as he says that.
Like, they delivered what they needed to deliver for this showcase.
Yeah.
Starfield looked incredible. We're all so happy, guys. We got to record this in person. You know,
this is amazing.
Me and Josh.
So cool.
Let's clap our hands so they can tell that this is like happening. Like,
yes,
you can hear
so
it.
I'll give you 5-2. Yeah.
But to be here with Josh in person and with my brother Creighton and to record this.
Very surreal. Very cool. Very, very cool.
So exciting. Guys, but if you want to go to Patreon and leave us a little something, something there, you go to Sacred Icon or patreon.com/sacredicon. If you want to leave a voicemail or a podcast, you can go to sacrediconpodcast@gmail.com. Come join the Discord. Follow us on Twitter. Creighton's not on Twitter, but we have Josh at
Joshy. Tell us in the Discord you guys want Creighton back on, so we get him back on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because the episode we had him on before sucked, and it wasn't because of him. It's because we made the episode about Battle Royale.
We definitely got to have him on for Starfield, but if we can get him on,
you will have the Starfield episode, but that'll probably have to be January because we don't want spoilers. So it'll have to be January probably of next year.
We got
to
do like a first impression.
We can do a first impressions. We can do a first impressions. Yeah,
we can do that.
It's
going to
take
me
a while to beat,
but it's going
to
be awesome.
It's exciting.
I'm at Brian's Band on Twitter. Of course, you can follow Sacred Icon at Sacred Icon Pod. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Xbox really nailed it. This was an awesome time. We're so excited for the summer of gaming. We're going to be playing Starfield in less than 3 months. It's amazing. We love you guys. Thank you so much. And as always, keep it sacred.
Thanks.